The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack! Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
Hoo-wee!
All right, a little island music is appropriate here at Gillette Stadium this morning. Revis Island is open for business.
Is this everything? Is this everything going to be all right?
Yeah.
That's even appropriate.
And everything is going to be all right.
I am so disappointed we didn't do a show yesterday, though, so that all these frauds could have freaked out yesterday and been back on the boat today.
24 hours ago, the sky was falling, and now the sky is blue. Darrell Revis is a New England Patriot.
Snow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, according to Twitter, this is one of the most anticipated shows we've ever done. So, more than the draft, more than anything.
So, what are we getting for lunch?
People are excited. People are excited about Darrell Revis. And I think it's amazing that the Patriots were able to pull this off. Some, including Paul Perillo, think that this was in the bag a year ago. But
What?
Didn't you write that?
That it was in the bag.
Oh no, you wrote it.
I did not write it.
Mitch Cimini wrote it.
Some people believe this has been in the bag for more than a year.
Right. Right.
I had
remember,
no
some
idea.
People wrote it at the time.
I had no idea.
I believe Gary Myers wrote a column last year about, you know, if this works out, who knows? This could end up with him in New England or something. And they had that photo and like Jets nightmares of him in Gillette Stadium in blue.
Right.
I remember that. But I had no idea.
Some people
None.
Believe within the Revis camp, the departure from New York, there was a long-term eye on landing in New England.
It was an orchestrated move.
Who cares?
According to Rich Cimini.
He's here now.
I don't give a rat's ass.
But I had no idea.
You added the only guy. First of all, you added the guy we've been trying to add since February when we brought up this idea. Of course, we thought we had to trade a first-round pick for him. Little do we know, it's just $12 million and no picks.
Right.
You know my whole stupid thing? Do you want Aqib Talib and your first-round pick? Or do you want Darrell Revis? You don't have to pay Revis $16 million. It's down to $12 million for the first year, although it has come out now that there is a Patriots $20 million year two option if they would like to extend the deal. But right now, $12 million, you kept your first round pick, you kept your third round pick, you kept your fifth round pick, you have number 24, because yes, I believe Adrian Wilson, you're either not going to be on this team or not wearing 24,
right,
because we're giving it to Revis, because we're going to start selling him as soon as we goddamn well can,
and everything is right.
Fred, it was perfect.
I know. Everything is...
Just so you know, it doesn't pass the smell test for me.
Everything is
because it's too
better.
Perfect.
Everything is better. I mean, the player's better. The situation's better. Everything is better.
Do you know those... Sovereign Bank has commercials right now that if it's too good to be true, then it usually is.
Right.
Because they're giving you $20 a month for your check.
Yep.
This is too good to be true.
No.
Right?
But
I mean, there's no
true.
Downside to
but
it.
But it is true.
Less than, there's nothing.
This
he's
not
more durable. He's better. Yep. He's a year removed from an ACL.
Yep.
He'll be there theoretically when you need him in the playoffs, not
right.
limping off with a hip, thigh, bone bruise, whatever injury.
Right.
He has zero off-field
right?
problems
right.
in the prime of his career.
Yep.
He is better, in my opinion, not just skill-wise, but versatility-wise.
Sure.
Because I think Talib is a great matchup with big receivers, but as those receivers become smaller and quicker, he loses the advantage in those matchups. I don't think Darrell Revis does.
No.
I think he does the little tie law sometimes with a quick guy and kind of wraps, hooks an arm around to make sure he doesn't get, he is the best.
It's amazing. We all.
Hall of Fame talent.
We all talked about what if, and boy, it'd be great.
We started it.
Boy, and then it happens, and it's like, wow. Did it really happen?
Yeah.
Is this true? And yes, it is, folks. Darrell Revis is going to line up as a New England Patriot this year. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, even at $16 million, we were saying do it. Because he, in my words, is a transformational defensive player. You treat him like you would a quarterback. And you pay him like you would a quarterback because he makes that difference. He makes that difference to your defense. He truly is the shutdown corner of our generation.
Yep.
And he makes everybody on that defense better.
And he's the first, I'm going to look through my memory bank real quick here, he's the first Hall of Fame defensive talent we've had in a long time. I mean, there's debates about Rodney and
right.
Seymour and all.
Yeah.
There's no debate about
yeah.
him. He is a Hall of Fame cornerback.
Right.
I think if he ends today, he may be a Hall of Fame quarterback, even for the Gale Sayers, just he was the best for a short period of time.
And, you know, Field Yates wrote that, you know, he found out that the Patriots have a rating system that goes up to 9.0, and 9.0 is that Hall of Fame rare guy, and that's how they had Revis rated, and for good reason. I mean, he is the best. And, you know, as far as this team goes, we haven't had a cornerback like him since Ty Law.
Right.
And he's probably better than Ty Law.
Oh, no, he's definitely better than Ty Law.
Yeah.
He is whatever the 10% better, something. They're very similar.
Yeah.
Physique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I already think for Patriots today, a sit-down with Ty Law and Darrell Revis needs to be in the works because I've heard they're like long cousins.
You know what? We should have a sit down with Mike Haynes because Mike Haynes really is the last,
sure.
you know, Hall of Fame cornerback we had.
But Revis and Law are the same. They wear the same number. They're from the same high school,
right.
the same area.
And they
play
the same build a little bit.
They have the same build. They have the same mentality.
Yep.
They're both CEOs of their own brand.
Right.
Everything about it, they're similar, but he's better, in my opinion.
Yeah. Can we do it on the trampoline?
That's what I just.
You did just say that, but it's not an idea until he spews it.
Right.
It's kind of like the globe.
So this is a great day. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
Now, hopefully that's not it, though, Fred.
Well, that's true.
Hopefully that's not it.
I do want to – our circulation manager turned the corner this morning and said, Super Bowl, baby! And she was like, well, relax. I mean, there's still a lot to be done.
Of course there is.
It's an exciting day.
There's still a lot to be done, and there's a lot of rumors out there that – one, Emmanuel Sanders is working
and
on.
You are giddy.
Is working on
well,
a
deal. I'm still
talking
about the defense.
Yeah.
I'm still Brandon Browner.
Woodyard Browner is up there.
The names Peppers and Allen are still available.
Yeah, and according to Jason Lockenfora, we're not in that
happen market.
I know, but I want them to be.
I do too.
Aggressive.
They need a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure they were aggressive.
Yeah,
they added
I know.
A Hall of Fame talent.
But it's a good start. That's a good start.
But apparently Jared Allen wants $30 million, $20 million guaranteed. Would you give that to Jared Allen?
Yep.
Yeah, I would.
I would.
At this point, I might have to wonder about it just because of all the things I need to do. You know, I put a lot of eggs in Revis's basket, which is fine.
Not really.
But
you put 12 eggs.
A lot of things. What are a lot of things
money.
You need to do?
You know, so I need to do a lot of things. If I put that many more eggs in Jared Allen or Julius Peppers, can I do all the other things I need to do?
I didn't say Julius Peppers. I'm not as sold on him.
Really?
Jared Allen, I'm sold on. I wouldn't give that deal to Peppers. That would scare me.
But Allen seems very content to it's a take it or leave it thing.
Maybe.
There's no negotiating.
Well, it's only day three.
Yeah.
What day?
But that's the reports that he's perfectly fine walking off into the sunset.
But that's what he wants. He wants somebody to lure him. Oh
yeah.
No, Jared, we need
yeah,
you.
We need you.
I know you have other things, but we'll meet the needs.
Yeah. He's playing the game too.
Yep. So Brandon LaFells has been talked about here as a wide receiver.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot that's going to happen, but right now,
well, you hope so.
Darrell Revis is, you know,
it's a good start.
He became the gem of the free agent market, and the Patriots got the top guy. There's no one that, I mean, I guess someone could get released that we haven't been thinking of, but this is the best guy at his position, one of the most important positions on the field,
mm-hmm.
and he's available, and the Patriots got him. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable,
and the only guy. Remember, we joked the other day that if you lose Talib, Yeah. If you don't get Revis,
it's
oh no, we suck again. We're back to giving up 20-yard pass. And I firmly believe that there was no one else that was they were going to sell me on, whether it's Werner or Davis.
No, one guy. If they had done a bunch of stuff
they
on defense,
have.
I think
great,
we might have been able to
we'll
make
throw
up
a bunch of Jags out
up
there
for the loss of Talib. But you
nope.
know,
I would still also like to see them maybe sign another cornerback.
Oh sure, Brandon Browner.
Well, I don't know about necessarily
week
him,
five.
No thanks.
Because of his off-field problems.
St. Paul over there doesn't want
not a saint. I mean, how many guys do we have
He's
to bring in?
He's been very consistent about that.
It has nothing to do with being a saint. I mean, how many guys do you have to bring in that are suspended? I mean, you have to have every guy suspended?
Yeah, that's my point. I want a guy who can play for you right away.
Doesn't bother me.
Let's bring in Darren Sharper, too.
Oh, come on now. Come on. That's
He's
a little
good
bit.
Player.
He's playing my side of the street now.
He's a good player.
Pick a winner.
I mean, seriously.
That's your territory.
Now, what was Browner's problem off the field?
Need a safety?
Minor.
What's it, marijuana? Is that what it was?
Multiple suspensions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them was a technicality. He was in Canada, didn't know he missed the drug test. It was some legal mumbo jumbo.
But it's all around drug testing.
Yes.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he comes from
Seattle.
He's
a big dude.
Yeah.
Then that's when they smoke it.
6'4".
220.
Yeah.
He could play safety. I don't know why he couldn't play safety.
Sure.
I just think it's funny. Like, a couple days ago, or yesterday, I guess. It just seems like a couple days now. It was, you know, jokes about, really? Alphonso Dennard and Logan Ryan are going to be our corners.
Right.
Now we got Revis. We might have some, you know, Browner, who was good opposite Sherman. We're not asking him to be more than a Robin.
Right.
All of a sudden, we can push guys down into third, fourth, fifth corner. That should be third, fourth, fifth corners.
The whole trickle-down effect.
Love it.
Is happening here. It's great. So then, you know.
But you need another guy for that to happen.
Yeah.
I said. That's what he's just said.
No, but.
He pushes everybody down.
But Revis doesn't, because Revis is replacing Talib.
Right.
He said Browner.
No, right. I know, but you need another guy. Like, I don't think Browner is all that great anyway, but I don't want him. I'm not necessarily agreeing with you guys on that.
Yeah,
so who do you want if you need another guy?
I think you need to draft a good cornerback. I think you have to find one that can play instead of just continuing to draft guys that are just kind of bleh. I think you need to.
What leads you to believe if they draft a guy, he's not going to be bleh?
Well, I mean. Can't just give up.
Well, and to Paul's point, I think with a Revis on the team, some might say, well, now they don't need a corner. No.
No.
I think now if you draft a corner high, wow, he doesn't have to be the man. He can learn from the best. He can watch the best. I think that's might add to the reason to draft a corner high.
Would you take – I asked you this yesterday in the office. I know what you're going to say, but would you take Cromartie?
Not now. I would as a desperate measure, but not now.
No?
No. You know,
that's kind of the
yeah. I don't want Cromartie.
Not necessarily him, but that's the kind of other corner I would like to have. Somebody who can start on the other side of Talib.
I mean that's the theory you're going in with Browner. That's the theory you'd go in with Cromartie.
So have you given up on Dennard? I mean, you don't think that he's that good?
I don't think he's great. I think you could. I think you could upgrade though.
He's the guy that I am intrigued by him watching, learning, and
he plays a lot like
he does.
Like,
yeah,
like
he shadows Revis and maybe learns a few tricks and how to hold a guy on the waist without anybody knowing you're really holding him around the waist.
Right.
And he could learn a few things from Revis.
Yeah. So okay, we should just jump right in here because we got a
lot
of people.
Rude. They're on the line. It's rude.
We have a
people
lot of people
excited.
Who want to chime in, both on the Ace Ticket Hotline. In web radio at patriots.com. It's an exciting day. Twitter was blowing up before and after the Revis deal. Before, all negative, making fun of me, and then after, people sniffing.
Wait, yeah. Who was making fun of you?
Everybody was.
I was.
I'm waiting for the aggressiveness, Fred.
Oh, I wasn't doing that on Twitter. I was making fun of your aggressive thing because your definition generally of aggressive is not the same as mine. Yeah. This, I think we all can
agree.
Okay,
let me characterize
this.
It's
an amazingly aggressive move.
Skill? Bill Belichick's acquisition of Darrelle Revis was skill, luck, or doesn't pass the sniff test?
Skill, luck, or doesn't pass the sniff test. I think it's a combination of skill and luck. I mean, you know, you didn't know that, they were going to be that bad last year, and Shiano was going to lose his job and all this stuff. And had they been good and made the playoffs, maybe Revis would be content to stay, and maybe the Bucs have been content to keep him, you know? So you had to have that happen. You know, you couldn't plan this out, oh, I know that in a year the Bucs are going to want to get rid of Revis. You couldn't count on that.
But did you even know 3 days ago?
If they do. What?
But did you know even 3 days ago that he wouldn't go to Oakland. They wouldn't trade for him because apparently Oakland and Cleveland wanted to trade for him, but he wouldn't touch his contract, do anything, was not open to that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the validity of that, but if that's the case, then, you know, that whole back channel deal that, you know, was in the works could have been the reason why he wasn't willing to touch his contract for those guys.
I just, you know, we play the stupid truth serum game. Truth serum game. You know, Monday night, Tuesday morning, did Bill Belichick think there was a 90% chance that Darrell Revis was going to be his corner by the end of the week?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. He might not know the answer to that, and he'll never tell us, honestly.
Sure.
But I just wonder, do we give him credit for genius behind the scenes, you know, pulling the puppets, or is did he step in poop and end up smelling roses?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but somehow he did it. And you got to imagine that. We can't be the only team in the NFL that was willing to pay him $12 million.
God, no.
Right?
Right.
So there had to be other people, if they wanted to put this out there, would have been willing to do that and more.
Well, what about Denver? Well,
unless he, you know, purposely told them he wasn't going to touch his contract so that they would say, oh, that's too rich for us.
That's what I mean. Was there, like, behind-the-scenes Patriots
knowing
interest
that
and
behind-the-scenes
Revis
saying,
knowing that
he wanted to come here.
I'm going to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Can I get back to the that option year that you guys brought up? And the three of us, Fred, as we were coming down, we were talking about this a little bit confused. Evidently, it does allow them to spread out that bonus over 2 years, the $10
million
signing bonus, which is kind of what I thought. It eliminates the franchise tag, which we also kind of sort of surmised. I guess the date is April 1st of 15. So clearly he's either under contract at the time of the franchise period or they've released him, in which case you can't franchise
right.
a guy. So obviously you can't franchise.
Because I'm assuming the new league year starts in March again.
Yeah. Yeah, but the franchise period is always before that. So
no, I know, but
you don't
technically he's
going to
be a Patriot in 2015 for at least 3 weeks. If April 1st is
well, if they decide that they are going to wait all the way till April 1st before they don't pick up
right,
that
but
bonus.
They don't have
yes.
to do anything.
They don't have to do anything.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I would assume that the league year would start roughly around the same time, the, you know, early,
well, yeah, that's why I was asking
the middle
that.
Of March.
That's why I was asking.
But who knows? Maybe it gets pushed back now that they have the draft established now in May. Maybe they're going to push that back next year. I don't know.
But I'm asking for the purposes of, if I want Revis, but I don't really want to pick up the $20 million option, I can wait for free agency to start. Wait for a lot of money to be spent, call other teams bluffs who may think I'm going to release Revis, but are they going to wait to make sure I release Revis? And then if I release him on April 1st after they've spent some of their money and signed, I may be able to negotiate with Revis and get him back on a better deal because there's not as many options out there.
Right.
So I think that's an interesting timing of April Fool's Day.
There's some post here with some of the stuff. He has the second year that Andy already talked about. So that allows the $10 million that they gave him up front for this year, you can prorate over the 2 years. So the $10 million over the 2 years of the deal. In other words, Revis counts just $6.5 million against the Patriots salary cap this year in 2014. That's
maybe
a great,
they do have room to bring in one of your guys.
That's a great
Eric.
Deal.
Right, because they had 15.
Now,
right.
the bill comes due in 15 because whether he's on the team or not, it's $5.5 million. Mm. He would count to the salary cap. So if they release
him, worry about that next year.
But, plus, we got Aaron Hernandez on for $7.5 million this year.
Even if they're already released him and he's playing for someone else next
maybe
year,
they'll
the
get credit
to worry
that
about
point.
That next year. So I think that's an interesting element.
Plus, the cap's
of this.
Going up $10 million
because I mean everybody's in agreement. There's no way he's going to be playing for the Patriots on that deal next year. They're not going to give him $20 million. No one was willing to give him $16 million this year. No one's going to give him $20 million next year. But I think that's a great move by the Patriots to sort of defray the costs now and put it off to next year. And Andy brings up a great point. You're going to get that Aaron Hernandez money next year, so you'll have a little bit more flexibility. You know going in, so you prepare for it, that I'm going to get this $5.5 million next year. It's a great move.
Yeah.
It adds
and it's
to
not
the,
a bad move for Revis either. You know,
well, Revis is clearly one of those guys that doesn't mind, as Andy said when we were walking down. He doesn't mind going year to year.
I think a lot of people would look at it as a bad move. I think a lot of traditional agents, traditional NFL people would say, no, you want to get your you want to get Tlaib. You want to get your $25 or $30 million guaranteed just in case. I mean, it could end tomorrow. I haven't seen this anywhere. He has to have made
80 something million.
Yeah.
I mean, Rich Samini, I think, wrote it. 8 years, $86 million.
For a non quarterback,
That's goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And he's adding another.
He's basically made $10 million a year throughout his career.
That doesn't
happen. Give or take a few shekels.
That's incredible.
So he has, if he's smart, I'm assuming he seems pretty smart, he has his lifelong nest egg already. So all this is, to some degree, gravy. It gives him the leverage and the ability to do almost anything he wants on a yearly basis.
Yeah. He won't have to open up trampoline places after he's gone.
Well, he might want to. I'm not sure Ty Law has to open them up. I think he's looking to increase his money.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dwight's in Alabama. Hey, Dwight.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
This Revis signing shocked me. I was in the house hollering and yelling, rolling on the floor. I literally lost my mind when Revis signed.
I hear you.
So did Fred.
Yeah.
But I do want them to do three more signings. One of three can't happen, but I want them to have Browner, Steve Smith, Jared Allen. All three, two of the three, or one of the three.
Yeah.
That's Jared Allen is the next.
Who was the other one? I heard
Steve
Jared
Smith,
Allen.
Browner, and Jared Allen.
All right. Yeah, I agree with these guys. Then Jared Allen. I have no interest in the other
two. To me, Jared Allen is a step down from Revis in terms of like.
I have less than no interest in Steve Smith. Yeah. I mean, literally less than no interest.
As a slot guy?
Brandon Browner, you could sell me on as that trick, like that, what Fred and Andy were talking about, the trickle down effect, and he's another guy who started. Steve Smith is so beyond done, it's ridiculous.
I mean, there's rumors that Edelman's going to come back now, but if he doesn't, you wouldn't take Steve Smith as a slot guy?
No.
Really? Okay.
All right.
I don't know. You're going to ask him.
That doesn't mean that you can't. I look at his average per catch is declining. Ridiculously bad.
Because he used to be an outside threat.
Yes.
So you think he just
used to be.
Changes his position, it'll be great.
I think he'd
be essentially what he was last year, was a possession slot receiver. Yeah.
And he wasn't good at it, so I don't want him.
I think he was fine.
Yeah.
I think
now,
he was
you
fine.
Can make an argument that it was Cam Newton. It's not exactly the most accurate guy out there.
I will make that argument.
Thank you for giving it to me.
I want no part of him. I don't think he is. I think he's done.
Plus, he's not
he's
nice.
Beyond done.
Okay. St. Paul over there. He yells.
If they do sign Browner today, how would you see it? It would be Revis on one side, Browner on the other, and who would be in the slot, you would think, because
he's still Arrington, but Browner can't play for the first four games. Remember that.
And Dennard may not be able to play for the first X.
He's
in jail. Everybody that comes out of jail generally gets something.
It's a technicality.
What's a technicality? He's not allowed to go home at night. That's called jail.
He might get a game or something, but
right.
He's not going to get
I'm
more
just
than
saying
that.
You could get a game or two where you are without two of your top three corners to suspension.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all I'm saying. All
right. Yeah. So it will be Ryan in the slot because they have to get rid of Arrington. They need to drop him now.
Oh, see, I don't think they will.
They need to. I'll tell you. Because if they get Browner and Dennard comes back and they have Ryan, they could just interchange Dennard and Logan on the slot.
Well, I would just like to say, now that we have a real corner and the secondary is coming into play a little bit, we can stop pretending that Logan Ryan is the second coming of Deion Sanders. He had an rookie year.
I can cut him tomorrow, and I would not think twice.
Year as Dennard did. I'll say that.
Right, he did not have as good a year as Dennard did.
No.
I could cut him tomorrow and not think twice, not have a regret. I don't foresee him. He has to earn his way into my plans. He is not in my plans right now.
Okay, but to me, he's a better upgrade than Arrington in the slot. I'll say that.
See, I don't know that.
I don't think so.
I have seen Arrington play better than I have seen Logan Ryan. I've seen Arrington play poorly, don't get me wrong, but I've seen him at times play better than I've seen Logan Ryan play.
I have no problem with Arrington as my slot guy.
I do at times.
I do,
as long as Jeremy Curley's
I do
slot
have
receiver.
Problems.
Yes.
I do have problems.
Dan Dierdorf, I don't know what Kyle Arrington's doing.
What he's doing
because I think the NFL has changed where the slot is now, slot corner is a position. It's not your third cornerback per se. I don't like Harrington being the guy that replaces my outside corner when he gets hurt. I want a third corner to be somebody different than Arrington. And that's been the problem, is Arrington's been the guy who's always replaced the outside guy when he gets hurt.
But don't gloss over it. He's had trouble in the slot at times, too.
Yeah, but not as much.
That Jeremy Curley ass-whooping was eye-opening.
Yeah, not as much.
Yeah.
He got benched. Yeah. That was eye-opening.
That was the game he got hurt. But
No. Oh, now we're going to say he was hurt when he was good. He was.
I didn't even know that was the case.
Wait a minute. So you think? Forget it.
Yeah. So
you know what? He's basking today.
This should bask.
This is Fred's day. Leave him alone.
I want four good corners. One of them being.
That's all.
I want one of them.
We only need three more.
One of them being Arrington in the slot, And
you are consistent. When they had a great passing game, they didn't have enough weapons. Now they've added a Hall of Fame corner, and it's not enough for Fred. I want four great corners.
Did I say great?
I don't know what you said. Yeah.
I do agree with the notion that.
Good.
Basically, they've.
Is there another decent safety in free agency that we should get, or just leave what we have as is?
Don't forget there's the draft. I'm still zeroing in on my boy Dion Buchanan.
For God's sakes.
Okay.
It's because you want to say Dion?
Dion.
All right, Dwight.
That's how you say it,
we got to let you go. We got a lot of people holding on. Thanks
I
for
think
the
you
call.
Should go with hey, D1. I'm D1.
Let's go to Noah in California. Hey, Noah.
5 degrees tonight?
What's pretty up? Good.
How arc you?
So I think Darrell Revis was awesome, and you think I think he's gonna make an impact maybe on the guys like Logan Ryan. So maybe playing with Darrell Revis is gonna make them better. So maybe we rip on them now, but when they play with Darrell Revis to see how he plays, maybe they start picking up their game.
Yeah, maybe that would be nice if that happens, but I'd rather go into the season knowing that I have better players on the roster. And if those guys pan out, great.
I've heard a lot of that, too. And listen, maybe that will happen. I don't really think there was much evidence of that happening with the Jets. I don't think he helped the young defensive
You don't think he helped Cromartie?
Back. He's not a young defensive back. No. Kyle Wilson would be an example, and I don't think he helped him.
But he helped Cromartie, didn't he?
No, Cromartie was already a very good cornerback before Revis got there.
He was an all-pro corner.
Now, did he help the whole defense? Absolutely. They were able to play with him locked up, and all the things that Ryan was able to do up front with his personnel was because he had Revis back there playing man up. And I expect that to happen here, too. But I'm not sure that Dennard and Ryan become better players because of watching
Darrell
Revis.
If they have flaws in their game, they're certainly going to be targeted because you're not going to throw Revis's way if you think that you can exploit somebody else.
That's what I'm saying. It's not going to – I have heard that a lot. Like, just imagine these guys soaking up all the – maybe Darrell Revis isn't that kind of player. Maybe he's sort of one of those I do my thing over here kind of guys.
Ty Law.
Yeah, and I don't think Ty Law necessarily helped other young defensive backs for the Patriots. Doesn't mean I wouldn't take Ty Law on my team every day.
Right.
And certainly doesn't mean – Revis is my favorite defensive player in football. I mean, I couldn't be more excited about having him. I just don't know how much he makes Logan Ryan
I think he might help the defensive line more than he would
he
have
He helps the defense
secondary.
In general.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
helps the defense in general. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think of the free agency overall? A lot of signings, within the first day. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. I mean, has it been this crazy lately?
It could be cyclical, but there's a lot of money available this year, and there's a lot of good guys that are free agents. So
I think it was the money.
Yeah.
I think the bump in the cap was a little bit
you
of
think
a boost.
That bump made a difference?
I do, because it had flatlined a little bit. And I think people were more aggressive because they had
the
a little
rollover
money.
Thing that they were able to do from 2013, didn't that help a little bit?
There was
too?
A lot of cap space available.
For some teams?
Carryover.
Well, yeah, but they've always had that. Yeah. They've always been able to roll cap money over.
Yeah, but now... But
now see, you rolled it over and there was a $10 million bump.
No, but I thought that last year you didn't have to spend it all. This year you do. And I think that
I
because of that,
that,
teams had more gap to roll over. This next year they won't have that.
I don't know that that's true.
Okay.
I still don't understand that thing. It is not a hard line. The cap is 133, and I'm the Oakland Raiders, and I have to spend 120 or whatever. It's league wide, and it's over a 3 to 5 year span. It's some complicated proposal that I just didn't really understand.
Calculations.
No, it seriously is. I have no idea.
To keep track of.
And I have no idea how to explain it or figure it out. I really don't. Right. I need somebody smart to explain it to me. You know anybody?
Not dumb like people say.
The signing of Darrell, what?
No.
What's this thing doing?
With the signing of Darrell Revis, what do you think any other moves that the Patriots might do, or is Darrell Revis just going to be our only move?
Well, nothing of that magnitude, but there'll be other moves. They're going to be aggressive.
If they get Jared Allen, that would be...
It's close. It's a step down. But Fred's right. You can't beat Darrell Revis.
You can't beat Darrell Revis, but
if Jared
Allen
like,
is right there.
J.J. Watt or Robert Quinn somehow, if you trade it to
trade,
them. But for the most part, you've added the best possible. I mean, this is a step down from Peyton Manning going to the Broncos. The only difference is he wasn't with one team forever, but But I mean, this is a Hall of Fame talent that rarely becomes available.
Right. Yeah. You would have to get like a situation where all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers becomes available.
Right. I mean,
that there's a small handful of players that would be higher profile free agents than Darrell Reeves.
Thanks for the call, Noah.
Because he's in his prime. This isn't Allen and Ware are fading.
Right.
This is a guy in
about
his
Champ
prime.
Bailey. You know, a lot of people said, you know, bring Champ Bailey in as an extra defensive back. Now, he has that resume,
right?
But he's not that guy anymore. This is a guy with the resume and in his prime.
Let's go to Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hold on.
That's his O face. He gave him his O face.
The O face. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. I jumped so high yesterday, I think I broke my ankle when I
It's because you're a bit overweight.
I know. Packed on the LBs when I get over.
It's interesting you say that, though. Like, I know we're sold out, but this would have been one of those days if we weren't sold out. You would have had those, you know, season ticket sales jumped 22% and guys were lined up. That's one of these moves, except we're sold out.
Right. So all we can do is do pre-sale for Darrell Revis jerseys, which will happen pretty soon.
Yes. Is he going to be 24?
I would imagine. Yeah.
Adrian Wilson, nothing to say about it?
No.
I don't think he has anything to say about
it. No.
If you're here, you wear a different number or you won't be here.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. Yep. And just so you know, if you had a show yesterday, I was prepared to go down the hole. We didn't sign Asante Samuel in 2008 road, and we spent years of drafting Jags and spending money on the Lee Bottoms and the Sean Springs of the world to fill the position.
Good for you for admitting it.
We should have had a show so we could literally have Christian on today and play the audio from yesterday.
And I would say the
same jumped
thing.
Up so high I broke my ankle.
I wasn't one of these guys screaming and yelling, but I absolutely felt the way that Christian just talked
and it
yesterday.
Was
it
was normal.
I can't be a fraud.
Why would you not feel that way? You yet again saw a great player leave. It's fine.
I mean, I didn't think it was over or anything like that, and I just felt it was a lot of time that you could still build the team, but I didn't envision a guy like Revis.
But like I was saying yesterday,
I thought you were going to get worse at left
corner.
The
exact reason you should have franchised Tlaib, which is what I want to, was the Broncos. Somebody swooping in and offering a massive long-term deal that was even above sort of the market, that was the insurance you would have had with the franchise tag. And I thought you screwed that up by not taking, you misread the market. You looked like you were right for a while with all these $30 million deals, and all of a sudden there's a near $60 million. But, you know, Bill had a Revis up his sleeve.
He did.
It was crazy. And, you know, hey, you know, obviously we can all say he came out smelling like roses. Bill played the situation great. What was the whole background of it, you know, with Jason Light and all that and the back and forth? And did he at some point speak to Revis, you know, with the whole tampering thing?
Well, I know they would never do that. Bill says they would never do that.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is that...
No, Bill said that.
They had a huge hole, and they filled it. And now, like you said, the whole trickle-down effect on this defense. And, you know, all the more important now, let's really see what a great defense Bill can put together now and go out and really get that pass rush.
Plus, in the playoffs, he's going to be out there.
And I mean, this is a guy that only missed games because of the torn ACL. He hasn't missed a game otherwise.
And that one time Moss beat him and he had his pride hurt.
He missed three games. Other than the ACL, he missed three games in 6 years. He's a very durable guy.
Because he keeps his pride in his hammy.
He's a very durable guy, and he's on that one-year deal. So, you know. This is great. I gotta go make my reservations for Arizona. I'll talk to you.
All right.
So it's a good thing people like Christian and like we never fired Bill as the GM.
Right.
Remember when everybody wanted to fire
That's
him?
Right.
It's a good thing we didn't fire him as the
it's
GM.
It's a good thing, huh?
Because right now, he's very, very good in free agency.
Oh yeah. But you know, the whole thing though with Patriots let the great ones leave or good ones leave, so does every team. I mean, Jared Allen's available. Julius Peppers is available.
Adams.
All these guys left a team.
Yeah, he is available, actually.
You know, so all teams go through this. You know, Vince Wilfork could be available. Who knows? But all teams have to let guys or choose to let guys go throughout their history. You know, the Patriots are no different.
What do you think the impact is on Vince Wilfork with the Revis addition? None? Some?
I've read, you know, today where now the pressure's on Wilfork to say now you have to do something.
Well, those
but
people,
now,
yeah,
the,
they
with the
were
contract.
Play, yeah.
It may not be.
Yeah, those people, I think, were assuming it was a $12 million cap hit for this year.
Right.
Not a,
now it's like
what'd you
seven
say?
Or something.
Right,
like that.
So maybe now
$25 million next year. By the way, cap.
So you know, actually, you're saving money from what you would have had to do if you if you franchise Tlaib.
But maybe,
oh God, yeah.
maybe they could still convince him to do something because they might still want to do things.
Yeah, we say, hey, we're going to make a run this year, Vince.
Right.
We want you with us.
Yeah.
You know, one ring isn't enough. You know, let's do it again.
And you can also maybe, you know, even Darrell Revis essentially took a pay cut to come here. It happens. Even the even a Hall of Fame talent took a pay cut to come here.
You know what's funny about that? You know how he's so fixated on money. Well, if you count that whole option thing, it's 2 years, $32 million.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, it's
average is the 16.
Now, we know he's not going to get the 20.
No, but he is.
But he,
I guarantee when he leaves here next year, he's going to get a big contract somewhere unless he broke his neck.
Right. Or he comes to a longer-term deal here.
He getting paid. He'll be over $100 million. You said he's at 86?
I think Rich Cimini said 8 years, 80-something million.
Okay. So he'll be at over $100 million within a year.
He's not counting the $20 million option. He's counting this year.
No, I know.
No, I just said.
But I'm guaranteeing he will be over $100 million by this time next year.
And, you know, you think
or
about.
Or April something next
year. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of guys in the league that are like that. Not a lot of guys see the actual money.
Right.
You know, Drew Bledsoe, people were amazed that, you know, in the course of his career, Drew Bledsoe actually earned and saw $100 million. He was one of the rare ones that actually saw the money in his contract.
Well, now more of the quarterbacks are.
Yeah, quarterbacks.
Yeah, because they get the big bone. I mean, what was – Breeze got $60 million guaranteed or something ridiculous. Mm. So, I mean, more
– Brady has seen every dollar of every one of his contracts.
Yeah, he's going to be up in the $100 million range.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo.
Just on
hey, Andrew.
NFL salary.
Oh, yeah.
Not even including
NFL. Still snowing in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah,
I can tell.
Still in bed?
Huh?
Yeah, are you in bed right now?
No.
You shouldn't smoke in bed. It's dangerous.
No, I'm up and, chilling out with my son watching TV. But, I'm very happy, you know, having Darrell Revis. I never really liked him because I always seen him as a Jet, but now I guess he's playing with us. You know, I can change my mind.
He's a great guy. Great guy. Great in the community.
Humanitarian.
Yeah. Off-the-field issues that
reads
we know
to
of.
Children at community centers.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking, though. Now, I think Chris Clemens, you know, he was released and then I think signed by Jaguars or Raiders.
Jaguars.
I can't remember.
Yep.
But what side did he play on? Like, because I was thinking, like, maybe we should have picked him up if he played on the left side. That way, you know, Nikovic can, be sit down on third down, maybe.
No sense worrying about it now. He's a Jaguar. And he's a Jet.
Yeah, he's a Jaguar. Yeah, I just feel like we need to get a defensive end.
You're right.
Free agency. You know, try and get a safety and then get Tom Brady a weapon, like a tight end. I know y'all were saying, you know, you would get a tight end in the first round.
Yep.
I support that also, but if not, I would really like if they get a safety, a strong safety. You know, a guy that's going to hit hard and, you know, cause havoc in the middle of the field. I feel like, you know, like a copycat lead with the Seattle Seahawks with Cam Chancellor.
Yep.
It's not going to be easy, but I know the draft is deep. Do you see the New England Patriots doing that, getting a safety?
I do. Dion Buchanan, second round.
D1, as we call him.
He's D1.
D1.
To solve it back. And I wouldn't rule out Browner being a versatile player if he ends up here. He certainly has the size to be a bit more than just a traditional cornerback.
Right. I was wondering that, too, because he is big. Yeah, he's really big.
He's thick.
Yeah,
we did
another thing, too, the fact that, you know, the Broncos took both of our top weapons back-to-back years. Now, I have two friends who one is a Buffalo fan, the other is a Broncos fan. So, you know, they were just saying that the Broncos weren't really thinking about the Patriots as far as picking up Keith Tlaib. It was more so thinking about the fact of the NFC. Like, we're going to go straight to the Super Bowl. We're not worried about anything or New England. I feel like it was somewhat about New England, too, the fact that they didn't want to lose, you know, coming out of the AFC. And
well,
they don't agree. They think.
Yeah, but the thing about Denver is they were down to like one cornerback. They were desperate too.
But they didn't need to get the top corner. I mean, I don't think
you
need the number one cover corner to beat the NFC. I don't look at the passing games in the NFC as like I look at the Patriots.
You need a fast defense to handle Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick and, you know.
Right, there's a lot more to their offense. Now, conversely, while we think of the Patriots as a passing offense, we think of Tlaib as a matchup corner. Well, who's he matching up with
exactly.
against the Patriots? We don't have a receiver that you'd say, oh, Aqib Talib can take him away.
He's kind of a waste against the Patriots.
I don't think he's big enough to literally do the Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham thing. Jimmy Graham's a receiver. Gronkowski would eat him alive.
Oh,
a healthy Gronk would tear him apart.
My guess would be they would try to do that.
But I don't think it's the same kind of matchup.
Yeah, I don't think it would
work. I had a lot more confidence he could do that against Jimmy Graham than I would against Gronk.
I mean, if you were Denver, wouldn't you try to do that, though?
Well, depending on how the offseason plays out.
Unless he comes to you in the meeting and says, I played against him in practice, man. I couldn't cover him.
Right.
there's always that possibility. He makes
everything a beast.
Way better tight end than Jimmy Graham in the hash mark. In the middle of the field, I think he's way better, honestly.
Yeah, well, it's just a totally different type of player. I mean, Graham is a long, lean, similar to Talib build, and I think they matched up intriguingly athletically. Can you have multiple?
Right. All right, Andrew. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
You make a good point, Andy. At this point right now is what I'm talking about. They could go out and sign a couple of wide receivers, and then suddenly I don't necessarily want to put Talib
Hakeem Nicks. If we signed Hakeem Nicks, I'd probably use Talib
on
Nicks.
I want him
on
Hakeem Nicks.
Because I think that's a traditional match.
If Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola is the best wide receiver the Patriots have, then I'm putting Talib on Gronk. And if I need to help him, I will.
Well, who do you put him on if Gronk's hurt?
All
right.
He doesn't
play. Take the week off, Hakeem.
All right. Tell Aaron Dobson you're not allowed to catch the ball today.
Let's take a break right now. We'll get to Nathan and Eldridge and Eddie and all your emails right after this.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the Bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey, rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O'Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spiced rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O'Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com, only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O'Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like. Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to 3 large cheese pizzas for $8 each. 3 large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows her for.
She works hard for her money on the radio.
Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the Disco Kings of PFW in Progress, Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
Do we have less spots now? I barely had two wings, and it seems like we're back in the show. Usually, I get a little bit further into my lunch. Chris is shrugging his shoulders. Kevin's on Revis Island somewhere, so Chris is filling in here.
He did leave me a couple of 2-liter bottles of Diet Pepsi, which I thought was very nice of him.
Which was strange.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398, or 855-PATS-500. If you want to call toll-free, and a lot of people are calling, let's get right to it. Eldridge. What's going on, Eldridge?
Hey, fella. Got caught part of it. I'm happy we got Revis, but that was the first call. So I'm glad we got Revis. But question is, I hear people talking about Browner. What's wrong with DRC and Cromartie? Somebody that can play right away instead of somebody waiting 4 or 5 games and maybe go out there and do the same thing and get kicked out of the league. Drugs.
Well,
why would you want
they're
going to
cost more, and they each have their little hiccups, right? I mean, I think there's some health questions for DRC, and I think some people were questioning DRC's dedicate. Remember, he said if he won the Super Bowl, he was going to retire. So I don't know if that matters, doesn't matter, if that's just he said something stupid and it was just kind of out there. I don't know.
I think it could matter.
But anyway,
you're looking for value, I think, now in your second corner, and I'm not sure those guys are as much value as a guy who could get.
They're better than Arrington.
Yes, I know. Everybody hates Arrington. Let's move on from Arrington.
No, because, like I said, if I was Kraft, he'd give me $15 million back and some change. I'm sorry, he's not worth $15 million.
Well, you're not getting it back.
Amendola, I know you ain't going to get it back, but there should be some talk of reconstruction of their contract. There should be. That way, help us out a little bit more on the cap.
But it's enough. The Amendola isn't really going to help you hurt you. You've dealt with it. Moving forward, you can get rid of him. This is the year where it's basically you don't gain anything by getting rid of him. Let's see what happens, and then we'll get rid of him after this year if it doesn't work out.
Okay, my question is this: How is Denver able to spend like $180 million within 2 years? I'm bringing down like 57, 56 for Talib, 30 for Ware. I mean, don't forget to give Peyton 120.
Cap is crap.
T.J. Ward is getting, what, $26 million?
It's very easy. Any team can do it. The Saints were in cap hell until they went out and signed the number one free agent on a lot of people's boards.
Did you see, by the way, that was like $9 million a year? He got the money that he wanted.
We've been telling you forever, if you want to sign somebody, you can sign them. It's very easy. Very simple.
It's very simple?
Very simple.
I was just wondering. To me, they loaded up. I think they loaded up.
Well, I mean, you can argue they loaded up. Yeah, they acquired a couple very good players, gave them pretty big contracts, and they have a quarterback who, within the next year or two, is no longer going to be playing.
They will be a viable team as long as Peyton Manning remains the quarterback. The cap will not stop them from being a viable team. Well, now, Peyton Manning could retire in 2 years, and I think the run ends, and people will then probably around here criticize them for not being properly structured, and they couldn't withstand the loss of their Hall of Fame quarterback. But to me, I think
you're two years ahead fighting people.
No, I think the Patriots. I think the Patriots did a very smart thing, and as the post that I read earlier, they worried about this year, and they know they're going to have some dead money next year. But it's okay because you are a viable Super Bowl contender right now. So I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it the way the Patriots did it.
Everybody has dead money every year. It's the bottom line.
Let me shoot one more question at y'all. And I want Andy probably shoot at me back, but let me shoot this at you, Andy. Let's say they do get another corner that can cover. In the draft, could you see them moving up, getting Watkins?
No.
A target for the outside?
No.
And then maybe that safety you're talking about?
No. Oh, yeah. We could get a safety. We're not getting Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is going to be a top 10, potentially top 5 pick. You're picking 29th. That would be a spectacularly unheard of jump to go up and get Sammy Watkins. Ain't happening.
You get a lot of people trying to move down. You know.
Yeah. They're not going to give the pick away. They're not just going to hand you Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins is the number one receiver this year in the draft.
Some people believe he's the most talented, surefire prospect in the draft.
Yeah, we could trade Revis.
So they're not getting him this year. All right, it's only 12 million. Thanks for the call, Eldridge. Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Only like six on that.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
How you doing?
What's up?
Seven, something.
Cautiously optimistic over here.
Well,
why are you being cautious? Today is not a day for caution. Today is a day
why
for
cautiously?
Hooting, hollering, and broken ankles when you land.
Guys, I love it. We got Revis. I mean, that's, man, you know, the best player out there that could have got. I'm glad. At the same time, though, you know, and also the Woodyard. If they get Woodyard, I love that, man. That, you know, a quick linebacker as opposed to the Giants that we have. I would love for them to make that pick as well to, you know, get him. Now, what I'm cautious about is the fact that I was watching NFL Network last night, and I can't remember who it was that made a very good point, I guess. In regards to Revis, we love Revis, but remember where he was at his dominant form with the Jets. What kind of defense was that? A pressure defense. Do we run the pressure defense? No. So that's why I'm cautious. Is there a chance that this would kind of be like Tlaib in a sense where he's great when he's there, but God forbid if he were to get hurt and we don't do anything else on defense really?
Yes.
Our defense is going to suck again. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's 100% right. If they do nothing else and Revis gets hurt, your defense is in trouble.
And, Eddie, I think you make a pretty good point
there.
That's
why they need to do more.
They, you know, the Jets did run a very, you know, pressure-oriented, blitz-from-anywhere type of defense, and that helps a cornerback.
Eddie, but they did that because they had the corner.
I got to tell you, Eddie, really respect the negativity, my man. Really respect it.
I'm trying to be as positive as I can be, but I guess, you know, that's something that just sticks in the back of my mind.
No, but Fred's right in that. I think that it's not just like, you know, 100%. It's this is great, whatever. You make some good points, but this guy is a better player than the guy he's replacing.
Yeah.
And when the guy he replaced was in there, the secondary played better. It wasn't a great defense, but it played better. And this guy's better than that.
Yeah.
And I think he's more reliable than that.
Well, he is. I mean, the other guy has never played 16 games. This guy has played 16 five times?
Five out of seven times.
Thanks for the call, Eddie. Let's go to...
But I do believe that, and we used to say this, Rex Ryan could do what he wanted to do up front because he had cover corners like Revis in the back.
So do you think Bill Belichick will take that cue as well and be a little bit more aggressive up front?
We saw him a little more aggressive last year with some blitzes, you know, Arrington off the corner, Ryan off the corner, some twists and stuff inside.
Right. Now, even if they don't get Jared Allen or Peppers, if they get a guy like Justin Tuck, I would consider that another good move toward improving the defense. And then you can do those things. You can be more aggressive with a guy like him and Jones on either end. And Revis in the back there?
Right.
I would say that they need to do that, though. They can't just say, all right, we signed Revis.
Well, I don't think they will. Well, Nathan's in Southern California.
You never think they will do something that would be inappropriate.
Hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Hey, to piggyback on Christian's story when he jumped high and almost broke his ankle, when I found out we got Revis, I'm actually a teacher, so I'm checking my phone during my lecture, and right in the middle of my lecture.
Good job,
teacher. I yelled out, yeah! And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. And anyway, it's pretty funny. But
good to see you're really dedicated to your craft.
Yeah, seriously.
yeah. Well, you know what? When free agency hits and we start to make a splash, you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, I had a question. How did Tlaib match up with Gronk during practice? Did they ever put him up against Gronk?
We don't see practice, so I mean, we don't. He was never out there.
Oh, okay.
We only see training.
I mean,
camp.
We see training camp practice. But Gronk wasn't out there. By the time Gronk was out there, we weren't.
Okay.
So it's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Last thing, just to call out, was it Eddie on the last caller?
Yeah, Eddie from the Eastern Shore.
So I appreciate his objectivity. I think he's pretty right on with a lot of it. But he was just a guy calling, like, what, Tuesday? Complaining about the Patriots never do anything. They make a huge splash. And now it's, well, if they don't do anything else, it's not going to matter.
Some people are never happy.
Yeah. Well, if they get a pass rush, I think it'll help significantly, but... That's pretty much it. Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Nathan. Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
You know, just tell us.
Patriots
released Isaac Sopawaga.
We did?
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
I thought that was yesterday, though.
Yes, it was. Well, that's what was going on. Paul's being snarky. That was big.
Oh, okay.
Big move. That's why we had the island music at the beginning, because he's from Samoa, right?
Well, no, that was Jamaican music you guys were playing. He's not Jamaican.
Oh, okay.
It is what it is, but I'm glad to hear we got Revis. I was at Longhorn yesterday, and I walked outside of work, and I got a text from ESPN, and I screamed as loud as I could, and everybody around me looked at me like I got hit by a car or something like that. But, I mean, it was that exciting to, you know. I mean, every time I look at his face in front of our logo, it just doesn't seem real.
I know. It's surreal, but he's here.
It happened, man. It happened. So now, I mean, going forward, I mean, actually, Andy, you there, right?
Yes.
Hello?
Andy's eating nachos, but he's here, yeah.
I saw you that you wanted us to get the tight end from Washington on that Patriots.com, that draft, mock draft.
Jenkins,
I'm absolutely with you with that. I read something on his ESPN.com thing, his draft thing, that he might have, like, he doesn't play 100% or something like that or whatever. But I think if he gets in our system, obviously, I mean, with the coaches we have, he has no choice but to give 100% or he'll get cut.
He won't get cut, but if he's a first-round pick, they're not going to cut him. But, yes, he could be brought along by – I mean, let's look at Gronk. No one's ever questions Gronk's work ethic on the field or in the weight room. His questions come when he leaves the stadium and decides what he's going to do the rest of the day.
Right, and he's a kid. I mean, he's a kid who got re-signed that big contract. Same thing with Hernandez. I mean, now that – I mean, I think all of us can get that Aaron Hernandez thing out of our system. Obviously, it'll come off the books next year, but – I mean, for us to be able to get Revis, I mean, it's sick, man. I mean, we're not even in OTAs. We even had the draft. I think the emphasis is going to be on defense. We saw with the Seahawks. I mean, they manhandled the Broncos. They manhandled them, and we just played them the week before that. And I'm pretty sure if we had Revis, we could have won that game. I'm gonna go out and say it. But now that have them, things are different. But I just going forward.
Still got to score points.
They still need some help on offense, though.
Yeah. True. I mean, hopefully Edelman gets re-signed, and I still think they're going to double dip in a draft. I know you guys think they might not do it intentionally, but I think that. I mean, you put two good tight ends out there, and then you got Gronk. You can put out there when he's healthy at the end of the year. I mean, I don't see any downside of that. But I know you got a lot of calls. I just want to say. I mean, everyone else down in Miami they're hating it right now because they don't have Revis.
That's right. We do. Thanks, Marcus. All right. Yeah. Enjoy the sun down in Miami. Snowing here at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, it's only a light.
Darius is in London. Hey, Darius.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Question I had for you guys was sort of more tight end orientated because, I mean, obviously a lot of people are saying that we're going to take one in the draft. But, I mean, do you look maybe to a guy like Scott Chandler, who's from the Bills, and maybe Owen Daniels, all that stuff that happened with him and the Texans. Do you think maybe we're going to get a tight end free agency and then maybe a later round tight end in the draft, or do you think we go and get a tight end first round of the draft, something like that?
I think both would be options. Owen Daniels is an intriguing guy. He was released failed physical, I believe. So his knee is apparently a bit of a concern. So I mean, that's a medical. That's one of those like DeMarcus Ware. Yeah, the talent, I'm intrigued by the person, but I don't know the health status and if I can fit him in and count on him.
Sorry, as I said, it's kind of the same boat as DeMichael Finley, really, isn't it?
Well, Finley's way worse. Yeah, Finley is like untouchable, in my opinion, because of the nature of his injury, and he may never play again. As far as Chandler, yeah, he's a middling tight end that you could add. I just think this is a pretty good draft for tight ends, and you could add the guy that not only complements Gronk now, but if Gronk continues to be injured and you can't give him that bonus and extend that deal, maybe you're drafting the guy that is the replacement for Gronk if you need that.
Right.
So that's probably Seferian Jenkins then, if you're going for a direct replacement for Gronk.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I mean, I'd like to see a guy moving around that can play out in the receiver, a la Hernandez. I mean, I know that sort of points towards Jason Morrow, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure I personally think Bill will trade down because I think there's the depth in this class, and you know he's all about his value and all that. So, I mean, I'm pretty content if we trade down, but not if we sort of trade down too much, if you get what I mean. I think we've got to get a decent deal, but obviously he's a good guy getting a decent deal. But I mean, what do you target first? I mean, do you target move tight end a la Hernandez, or do you go for cover for Gronk?
Well, it depends on the best player. I don't think they're locked into they need to recreate the move tight end and the inline tight end.
Yep.
the guy that's available. If they think Jason Morrow's the best guy, then I'm recreating the move tight end a little bit.
That's what I had to do.
If they think Jenkins is the best guy, then I'm taking him, and I'm going to put an offense on the field that I'm comfortable has great athletes, has great players.
Right. And then I'll make something around them.
Right. I'm not targeting either.
Yeah. All right, thanks,
guys. And by the way, I didn't care for the tone for Bill today. Today is a tone-free day for Bill. You know, you're not allowed, and you know, he's always looking for value. I'm sorry. He got the ultimate value. He got a Hall of Famer for $12 million on a one-year deal.
Right.
No tone with value today. Save the tone for next week.
The Patriot way is to take advantage of anything that's possible. Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Guys, what's going on? What a day. You know, starting with Bob Marley music to Christian's climax at the beginning of his call. great things are to follow after this show today. Man, this signing today is one of those monumental, statement-making, Randy Moss-esque type of signings. And I know Moss was done in a trade, but, man, what this says to me is we're going all in. This is going all the way to the top flight on defense, an area that we've all been rallying to see some improvement. I am beyond optimistic 3 days into free agency to see Darrell Revis on this football team. And, you know, Jets week, going to have a whole new spin for being a Pats fan. Can't wait for that. Guys, just got to say, so excited to see what happens from here. And that's all I got. Over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Hey, if you were the head of Patriots PR, would you make Darrell Revis, would you have him do a press conference or just make him available to the media?
I would always like to have press conferences for big signings, but I don't, if you're the PR guy here, I don't think you necessarily have the final say.
I'm saying if you did.
Oh, then I would do a press conference.
Yeah.
But he's not going.
I disagree.
Jersey ceremony, everything.
I disagree. I would just have him make available to the media.
No, but I would do that every year.
What do you mean, like a conference call?
Yeah, conference call or if
no, I would do a press conference.
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No.
Well, however they are. I mean, you would put
I would want his face with a Patriots shirt on, and I want that vision, that image.
I wouldn't do it
as possible. Much as I could.
Why?
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's better not to do that.
Why?
Because
the Broncos did that with Tlaib.
Do you do that with every guy that you sign?
I would do that every year.
You would do it with every guy you sign?
Yeah. No.
I would put him up in front of my podium and do it.
Yeah.
See, unless you do that, I wouldn't do it for Revis. I would make him available to all the media.
Yeah, no, I would do it with everyone.
But
what I'm
wouldn't
saying.
Do a formal press
I would
press
do
conference.
It every year, Fred.
Yeah, it doesn't really
for
bother
every
me.
Every guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
Why?
It doesn't really bother me either way, but I would. I agree with Andy and Eric.
This is
I know we're above that. You were right. Continue your sentence. We're above that.
Yeah, you could say it. Say it the right way. We're smart.
Team.
We're smarter than that.
Yeah, we're about team.
What does that have not to do with? What does talking have to do with team?
I can sniff too.
If you don't want him to talk, then don't let him talk.
I didn't say that.
So,
I said make him available.
If you're letting him talk, let him do
that
it right.
That is making him available.
But not at a podium.
There's a background with a T-shirt, with a jersey.
But what's the difference? Like, why does one indicate it's not team?
Fred.
What's that?
Why does one indicate it's not team? I don't get that.
Because I think all players should be made available, but not all players should have press conferences.
Well, the media doesn't want to talk to everybody the same.
So it's not about team, because Tom Brady goes to the podium, so it's about Tom Brady.
No, that's during the week. I'm talking about signings.
I thought it was about team.
Signing.
Yeah,
team.
But not every guy what I'm saying to you is,
right.
I think that
that's not right.
The wiser course of action would be to make them all available at a press conference, but the media doesn't want to talk to everybody the same. That's got nothing to do with your team philosophy. The media is more interested in hearing what Darrell Revis has to say than they would be hearing what Shelly Smith has to say.
It's also more difficult.
You don't need to have a press conference for Shelly Smith.
Exactly. It's also more difficult to make a guy available to the media when there are 70 reporters and 30 cameras trying to hover around and make sure everyone gets the proper shot.
Yeah, I don't care.
Now people
that.
Can't get questions. Well, I'm just saying, if you
really wanted to be covered
properly,
you should.
If you did care, then that's what you should be worried about.
We're better than that.
Yeah, I just want my players out there available to the media, but not necessarily in a formal press conference atmosphere.
And you can do that.
Ever.
That's allowed.
You don't
because
ever,
you're
don't
12
ever
and 4
that.
And you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And someday you're going to care about how the media is affected, how they do their job, the type of publicity you get, the type of splash you get. Someday you'll care about that because someday you will be looking for ticket sales.
Exactly.
Okay.
You don't think that's true? You don't think there will be a different spin on that if you had only 40,000 people at your last 10 home games? You don't think when you signed a big-name player, you might say, yeah, we need a press conference. We need a splash. We need media coverage. We need the visual. We need to get people excited.
Yeah, how
it's different.
How did that happen? Help the Jets when Tebow came in?
Wait,
how did it hurt them?
Right.
They got made fun of.
So? How did it hurt them?
Yeah, I think.
Did they sell jerseys? Did they sell tickets?
I think you bring in your guy, you make him available to the media. If he's a guy like Revis, you sell your jerseys.
It's easy to be snobby from the top of the mountain.
Exactly.
A lot harder when you're climbing the mountain.
I'm not being snobby.
You are.
You're being ridiculously snobby.
I'm not singling guys out for the podium when they get signed.
Right, because you don't have to. Because you don't need ticket sales. You don't need coverage.
What do you need the podium for? Just the coach's press conference?
Ideally.
Right. And your sponsor would love a Darrell Revis press
conference. Or if the owner comes out. Well, the quarterback would rather not go to the podium.
But they make
him do it. Why?
So why?
Because God bless you, Andy.
Because during the week, you don't want that huddle in front of his locker.
So what is the difference?
But this isn't during the week. It isn't the regular season.
How did this happen?
This is the offseason.
No, and it's not. I think it's interesting. I'm not even fighting about it, believe it or not. But what would be the change for you? Why wouldn't the coach do it? A lot of teams do the coach on the field. A lot of teams don't have the coach go to the podium every day.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't. I think it makes it harder to do your job.
Yeah. It does.
So why the change? Why is it okay if Bill does it there? Why, if you said if the owner has to speak, why does the owner need to go first?
One of the reasons we don't do it is because they kick the media out after the first 20 minutes. You'd have to bring them back down. You know, it's better having them wait in the media.
Bill Belichick doesn't conduct press conferences after practice.
But wouldn't you have to do that if you did it on the field?
No.
Why not?
You could do it whenever you want. You decide
when you do it. But
right now they do it before practice.
It's not feasible.
Why?
You know, so I think it's much.
Why couldn't he do on the field in the 20-minute window as he goes out to practice?
Because a lot of times he's working right up to when he goes out to the field.
I agree. But he has a press conference right up until he goes out to the field to practice.
It's his decision to do it that way, not like the media wants it that way.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. And I'm asking you why you don't have a problem with that.
I don't have
a problem with it either way.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me. But if you're asking me what the preference is, it's much easier to get a question in to somebody
at a press conference. Absolutely.
As opposed to being lucky enough to be in the front of a pack of 50, 60, 70 people with someone like Darrell Revis, that's what you're going to get.
For the media, it's absolutely better. And, you know, if I was just thinking about the media, I would allow each guy to have a one-on-one. But I'm not thinking about the media.
I'm asking you what's
best for my team.
But I'm asking you why it's best for your team to have media scrums around players and not just at a press conference. I'm asking you why is that best for your team?
In my mind, I don't want to do that for every player.
But I'm asking you, why is it bad that you would have to do it for every player if you need to do it that way? That's what I'm asking.
It takes too much time out of the day. It's just not.
As long as you have
they're busy in March
answers.
When they're not allowed to do anything.
Yeah, there's nothing going on right now.
I don't want anyone to put a gun in this.
I don't want to single guys out. You know,
so don't.
This guy. You know,
if they all do it, you haven't singled anyone out.
You know, I'm not gonna. What's that?
If you let everyone do it, you're not singling anybody out. You're letting everybody do the same thing.
Yeah.
What we actually do now is single guys out. Brandon Browner
to the podium if they sign.
You have them as a group.
You are? Absolutely.
Sure. Fred.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that.
No, sure. Fred.
I don't want to bring him up to the podium, so I'm not going to bring anybody up to the podium.
You're missing.
Why don't you want to bring him to the podium?
I just don't think it's.
No, no.
First of all, from a PR standpoint, I don't really know him that well. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know how he's going to react.
But this doesn't have anything to do with you don't like the podium. There's something about the podium that you don't like, and I'm trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah, and we're not.
Why is that anti-team?
I think it just elevates people a little bit more than I would like.
Well, it does because it's about, you know, a foot off the ground.
I don't mean physically. I mean, you know, symbolically.
But that's your choice. That's what you've chosen to do it that way now.
That was the question. What would you do?
All right.
Well, can I ask you a serious question?
Do you honestly believe this, or do you believe this because this is what Bill Belichick believes and that's how they do it?
No, absolutely not.
And you believe everything he does is right.
I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were saying, you know, would you bring him to the podium or just make him available to all the media? And I said, I'd just make him available to all the media. That person agreed. That person doesn't have any decision-making process, just to let you know, decision-making ability.
And likes KFC.
But, you know, that person agreed with me, but I just threw it out there to see what you guys thought.
And NASCAR. What we do right now is exactly what you don't like. We single guys out. We have a select few who go to the podium.
After games, you mean, and stuff?
Well, I'm talking about during the week, during the course of a week,
even.
So we do it exactly the way you say you don't like.
Yeah,
you
I
want
don't like
everybody.
It. I don't like it.
So you don't like the way we do it.
I don't like bringing guys to the podium unless it's like the head coach or the quarterback or after a game, you know, the star of the game or something like that.
Yeah, I'm talking about during the week. I'm not talking about post-game.
Yeah. I mean, I would limit it to the quarterback and the head coach.
But you're singling them out. Why?
Yeah, I kind of have to do that. Yeah.
Okay, what about this? What about this compromise, Fred? You wait maybe, say, a month until most of the free agency frenzy has died down. Every guy you've signed in free agency goes at the same time to the podium. They're made available at a table, at a microphone, with the backdrop, so that the media can ask any one of those guys at any point whatever they want.
Sort of like what they do at the Super Bowl?
Sort of.
Which they kind of do, if you recall, in rookie minicamp.
Sort of.
When they bring out the young guys and the first-year players that are involved in rookie minicamp, they bring them in the media workroom.
And they have them spread
out. And there's five or six of them there at a time, and you can sort of go to whichever guy you want.
How about that?
I like that.
Okay, good compromise. We've got it then.
I like that.
I think it puts guys on a pedestal.
Don't be snarky. Yeah, now, we got him to agree, Paul. Right. Come on.
I just like that.
Yeah, and like I said, I get your point of view. I don't understand why that is anti-team to you.
I just think
a guy's talking, and he's answering questions from the media. It's okay if he's around a group without a backdrop behind him, but it's not okay with a I don't get why one is anti-team and the other is pro-team.
Yeah, you know, I have to make a decision, okay. You know, like you said, you would do it with every guy that you signed.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, so then I have to make a decision.
Okay, I wouldn't do it with every guy.
I'm doing it for this guy, but I'm not going to do it for that guy. I'm going
to
do it for him.
Yes, I would do it when there's a reason to have a press conference.
Yeah, I don't want to
Braxton Cave doesn't need a press conference.
Right, I don't want to have to make that decision.
But
let's get to the phones.
But Brandon Browner, he probably deserves a press conference. Darrell Revis absolutely deserves a press conference.
So I'm going to put him at a podium, and he's going to be bombarded by questions about his suspension.
As opposed to having a group of media around him bombarding him with questions about his suspension.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. You're not changing the message.
For Browner, I do it on a phone conference, and it'd be very limited, and, you know, it's
so
different.
Now you're gonna stop the conference call at a certain time?
No, I wouldn't stop it, but it's, you know how it is. Like, three guys ask questions in those things, and everybody
else... Not for that one, they wouldn't
Everybody
be.
Else is typing, and, you know, the dog's barking in the background.
So you want to make it as hard as you can for everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, again, we come full circle.
I get it now.
You're working from a position of power, not weakness, right. And I agree with you.
No, I know.
You can slap the media around however you want.
You can do anything you want to us right now.
Right. When you have 30,000 seats filled, you would think about it differently.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Right now, you're in a position of power.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as we're being honest.
Seth in Pittsburgh. How you doing? Seth.
Pittsburgh, you're on!
We put him to sleep.
Hello?
Oh, there he is. Turn down your internet. Turn down your internet.
Larry King
works? I don't mind it at all. It's Ted, not Seth.
It's Ted instead of Seth. Okay.
How the hell did you screw that up, Ferreira? Ted and Seth don't sound the same.
All right. Go ahead, Seth.
I just want to say that I'm happier than Paul Frill at a free Miller Lite giveaway at Northeastern University right now.
Not bad. Not bad.
But I just had a question.
With a Pepsi chaser.
Are there any cap
and you would screw that up.
If they cut Dan Connolly and Kyle Arrington to free up some cap space, because there seem to be better free agents out there for maybe cheaper than $4 million a year that we're paying Arrington, and Dan Connolly just seems like a corpse on the line.
Corpse. Now we're just being mean.
Really?
Yeah,
was Dan Connolly that bad?
Yeah, I think Connolly's pretty bad.
Really?
I don't think he's very good.
I mean, Marcus Cannon seems like he could slide right in that place, providing that Bulmer's healthy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Connolly's tough, and I think he brings down Wendell. Because I think Wendell is limited. He's an undersized center. But when you put those guys between a couple good, decent guards, I think they're fine. And you can get him for $1 million or something, a relatively low salary.
Who's a better center, Wendell or Connolly?
Probably Connolly.
Who's a better guard, Wendell or Connolly?
Connolly. Wendell can't play guard.
So you keep Connolly and you get rid of Wendell.
No, but the price is it $1 million as opposed to $4 million?
Is it that much of a difference?
Yeah, Dan Connolly's cap number is $4 million and change. Okay. Now maybe he'll take a cut, a shave, I don't know. But yeah, if you ask me, ideally, I would have a good guard. I'd have Connolly as my center and Mankins as my left guard. But I'm also comfortable with replacing Connolly at right guard cheaper and better, maybe younger, with Wendell staying at center between those two.
So what happens when Wendell gets hurt?
Somebody else plays center.
Who?
I don't know, but Googs has got to figure it out.
But you have to have that.
Dante
guy.
Always figured it out.
I know.
Four deep he went, and no one missed
and
a beat.
And one of the reasons he always figured it out is because he had that guy like a Connolly that could play multiple inside positions.
Because he prepared guys to be a Connolly or a Hochstein or a fat-cheeked man.
I'm just saying, part of Connolly's value is his versatility.
Right, that's great.
It is great.
It's only called value if it doesn't cost a lot.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, don't you think $4 million a little bit much for Dan Connolly?
Maybe you can get a guy like that cheaper, but you got to have a guy like that.
and I'll have a guy like that.
Okay.
Will Svitek played guard and tackle last year, right?
No.
There's some guy that I can't name his name right now, Paul. Josh Klein or some. There's some jag that he's been developed. Or,
Klein
you know,
actually came in and Shelly played
Smith.
And started.
Right.
And played well.
Klein passed up Svitek. We thought Svitek would play. Boom, they bumped out Mankins, bringing in Klein. Conley is not the be-all, save-all. I don't know why you're so in love with him.
No, he's not.
I'm not going to call him a corpse like the caller did.
No, we like the guy, Ted but or I, Seth mean, or I don't like him to have one of my eight highest cap numbers, which is what he had last year.
And
right?
it's higher this year, I believe. It's actually gone up. You can do better for cheaper.
Now, in the interest of fairness, I'm not all that enamored with the fact that Logan Mankins also has one of my top eight cap numbers in the team. I'd like, you know, quarterback, maybe a wide receiver, tight end, you know, one or the other, cornerback, edge rusher. Those are the ones. If I have to have a lineman, left tackle would be the one.
That's what he played.
Now they have the ability. They have the ability to have their left tackle who played. He's good. He's on his rookie contract, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right. But Mankins looks good, by the way. I talked to him on the way down to the show. Looks good. He's got big hands. I was joking. Did you hear Light this morning?
Right. He could.
When he goes canoeing, he doesn't bring a paddle.
Right.
Mankins found that very funny.
All right, Ted, thanks for the call.
Oh, no, that was earlier. Sorry. When I went down
to invisible?
No, when I went down to KSP to do something with Jackie. Sorry. Yeah.
Let's go to Darius in Wisconsin. Hey, Darius.
What's going on, guys?
You are an habitual liar.
We're just reveling in Darrell Revis.
Man, okay. So
reveling in Revis.
So sounds like a cover. The actual day that this all goes down, I get on Twitter and I'm like, Revis is, we're going to buy an island and it's called Revis.
Woo!
And we got him. So I'm glad about that. Now, I see that Brandon Browner is supposedly in New England today. And that would be great because the receivers that we have on the schedule this year, yeah, we're going to need him. We're talking Megatron, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffries, AJ Green. We're talking huge receivers this year.
Yeah, I'm not worried about size. Darrell Revis will take all of those. He has matched up with big receivers throughout his career and had very successful. One that would bother me, you bring up Chicago. Okay, now if I have to do with two receivers, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, those are the times where I say I need a legit number two corner. But I'm not afraid of Golden Tate going to Detroit. I am not afraid of, who else did you bring up? Most of those teams don't have
Green.
A second massive receiver, yeah. A second big time,
Marvin,
you know,
Jones.
The Atlantas of the world who can line up a couple receivers that when healthy can scare the hell out of you. But most teams only have one elite receiver, and now we have the best corner in the game to deal with them.
Very true. Okay, now as far as the receivers, I'm thinking, what? Nobody's talking about Kenny Britt. Why?
Is he in jail?
No,
I don't know.
Not in jail yet.
I mean, he did have a year within the last 2 years that he was arrested 9 times, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a punk.
Browner just missed a couple of drug tests.
Yeah, I mean, by comparison, you know, Browner is Dale Carnegie.
To put him in our system?
A salesman?
What do you mean put him in our system? What does that mean?
Am I thinking Andrew there?
No. Wait a minute. What does that mean? I don't want to be, like, jump down your throat, but put him in our system. What does that mean?
Put him in our system? I mean, Belichick's not going to have that at all. I mean,
right, like the murderer? So I mean, we can't say our system. We had a guy allegedly execute people. You can't pretend that when you come
here, all your baggage just stops at the door.
But even if you don't want...
And that happened after he signed the contract,
right,
when he said, oh, I've been a changed
man. The Patriot
man.
Way. It, yeah. You know, it changes when you're here, and you just got to be big boy Aaron and not act like...
Baloney. But even if you don't want to...
people.
But even if you want to eliminate the extreme of Hernandez, okay, and say, okay, no one could have foreseen that.
He was able to perform while he was doing it.
Okay. There's a laundry list of guys they've brought
it didn't
in.
Affect him on the field.
Right.
Some of them worked for a little while. Some of them for a very short time, and some of them didn't work at all. And what happens is you get deceived into thinking they've always taken these guys on and it's always worked. Well, it hasn't always worked. Albert Hainsworth didn't even last a season.
Right.
Ocho Cinco shouldn't have lasted a season. Randy Moss quit halfway through his second season.
Brandon Lloyd was as wacky as the tobacco he was smoking.
Quit as soon as they gave him an ounce of money. This, you know, they can work and it's great, but to me, it's not a way to do business. And I think people around here think that the Patriots just fix everybody. They don't just fix everybody. It's not the Patriots' fault. It's the individual's fault for screwing up constantly.
Well, and
if you rely on a guy like that, that's when you're in trouble.
There's two literal ways, in my opinion, that fix people. One is winning. Winning cures so many different things. And
right.
Paul's right. Motivation. money. You know, I got to look out for myself.
Well,
I got to be our
environment does help
on some degree,
a
but
little bit.
But environment I think is encompassed in winning. Very few winning teams have problems.
Positive and yeah.
But the other one is what Paul mentioned, motivation. I got to look out for myself. I got to do the straight and narrow till I get this contract or till I clean up my image enough or those are that way works everywhere. Anywhere you go, if they're winning and you're motivated, then the insert team here X way will work.
Yeah, I would just worry about bringing in a guy like Kenny Britt. And even if it works for a year, but now you sort of get everybody says, well, there's no risk. You're not going to give him a lot of money. And I made this comment a couple of months ago. Why did it hurt last year not to have Aaron Hernandez in the offense? Was it because it was a cap hit of $7 million or whatever it was, or was it because you were missing the player? Because to me, the cap number didn't matter at all.
No,
but they missed an element of the offense that they had relied on.
Right.
So if Kenny Britt comes in and plays great for 8 weeks and then gets arrested, I'm relying on that guy, and now I don't have him anymore.
Right.
That's the risk, not the money, not the cap.
How reliable?
The risk is how good is he, and if it works out, and then all of a sudden he screws up, then what?
Right.
No, that's a good point.
Okay, and one more last thing. On the defensive side, I'm looking Jared Allen or Peppers.
Yeah, Allen.
So are we. But
and here's
Allen
where I become a total fraud because Jared Allen is right there with those guys. He's one step away from being out of the league, and I would take him in a
but
heartbeat.
But you think he's cleaned up.
I do.
You think he's learned.
But it's been a while. It hasn't been like...
It's been a long time.
It hasn't been 18 months since he's last been arrested.
No. He's
been a long time.
He appears to literally have changed his way. I don't know if that's, you know...
I don't know if it's true, I don't know the guy.
He may
but
have
he
learned how to...
He certainly hasn't been in trouble. Maybe he still drinks, but maybe he gets cars now. Maybe he gets services. He gets rides. He doesn't drive anymore.
Right.
I don't know.
Which
could
is
be
fine.
Anything.
And half the
absolutely
problem is judgment with
hats
these
off
guys
to him if,
you know,
if that's
you're
what he
get
did.
Drunk, get drunk. But don't drive.
Right.
You know, that's, you know... So
and don't go hunting.
But I just, you know, in full disclosure, I just shot
that's
down,
I mean.
I just shot down the whole Kenny Britt thing.
Right.
I would take Jared Allen. So you know, I would take Jared
it is
Allen.
Different. I mean, like Vincent Jackson.
Thanks, Darius.
I'd probably take him too.
And he's in between. Actually, he's not as far removed as Jared Allen, but he has cleaned himself up apparently from afar. He looks like he's kind of gotten it and gone. This, you know, Josh Gordon is another guy that we'll see where he goes.
Right
so
sure
now, he is a half a season basically of straight and narrow, but that's not far enough. Can I get him on his rookie contract? I'll take him. Would I invest in Josh Gordon right now? I'd be scared as hell.
Right. Let's get to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Brian from Brighton. For Fred, I just want to know if you smell extra special today after bathing in Jets fans' tears all night last night.
Well, I was worried you were going to, like, sniff so much you'd suck that rubber thing right off the microphone or something. Because, I mean, today is your sniff day.
Well,
AFC title game and Darrell Revis.
The icing on the cake is the fact that because Revis got released from Tampa Bay, the Jets' compensation stays at 4 and doesn't go to 3. For the draft pick, so that's even
geeks.
That makes it even better.
You're almost one of those guys I fought on Twitter last night who were like, you know, the best part is he was released.
Well, that's not the
so
best part.
We're going to get a compensatory. We might get a 3 for Tlaib. Yeah. You dorks are talking about compensatory picks when your team just added the greatest player it ever has. Like, get a life.
And on the same type of
thing,
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Whilst you were thinking of Schadenfreude.
Another email that says, as someone once said, I wonder if Rex is throwing up in his mouth after the Revis signing. Probably.
He's regretting the day
he liked Revis. He wanted him back.
Well, he liked him so much, Fred, he did what?
Well.
I thought you were going to talk about it. I was setting you up.
Oh.
I'm the Patriots now.
Big Balls, before the show, was saying, oh, I'm going to make jokes about him. Now he just...
Wow. Because unlike Andy, I do have some
a
type
filter
of comportment.
No, I told you to have a filter, but you acted like you weren't going to have a filter.
Jamal from New York writes in.
I got
not
another idea. Why don't we put a graphic together that says, like, sorry, Nantucket, you're now the second best island in New England or something.
What about Martha's Vineyard?
Come on, Nantucket's where it's at, right?
I don't know.
Well, that's where Bill vacations.
I like the Vineyard. And,
yeah,
and it was
would
before that. I like the Vineyard.
What about Block
that
Island? That's a nice
no
island.
Block Island is like, it's typical Rhode Island. It's
is
a
it
step below everything else.
Really? I've never been there.
I've never been to Block Island.
I have
no
either
idea what it even is, but that was funny.
They have the best commercials. That. Take a ride on the Block Island ferry. Take a
ferry.
No, well, the guy has like a little like something to it, kind of like that banana boat man, you know.
It's actually a chorus.
Let him keep talking. He'll just
do you know he did? It's actually a chorus of women who sing the Block Island Ferry song, not a man.
Do you know he did the Giselle accent the other day on
I heard that, and they made fun of him.
Oh, they were all over. Like, Dale Arnold goes, what was that? Yeah. And Holly's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's good.
I can't throw it. My husband can throw the ball and catch
it too.
Yeah, Andy did kind of get exposed a little bit yesterday as the kid in the grown-ups room. You know, they were kind of making fun of him a
little
bit.
They were.
Yeah.
They were.
I was trying to play that role.
Well.
I was on the air with two
old
stiffs.
It would have been better if, you know, in the middle of free agency, you came in as the Patriots expert.
Who's younger than me?
Instead of, you know, the infantile idiot.
Oh, I thought he was in his 40s.
That's what this show is for.
Right.
He's closer to my age. I thought he was way
younger. I think Holly's in his 40s.
I thought he was way younger than me.
Isn't he?
Now, Dale.
He's in his 40s.
Dale's he's an older guy. An older guy.
He's probably in his 50s, right?
Yeah. I would guess.
Yeah. Let's see. Jamal writes in, not look into bringing back Samuels as the guy opposite Revis?
Two of them?
There's only one of them.
Asante
Samuel. He can cover LaFell's.
That's true, yeah.
And two, I understand the love for Allen, Jared, but what about Justin Tuck? Had just as many sacks as Allen. He can play both inside and outside and still be productive.
It.
And he was a contributor to the Giants winning two rings. Just want to hear what you thought.
Yes.
I
prefer Allen, but value-wise, Tuck might be a better option.
I'll take Tuck. Tuck right now is in Oakland, so either he's looking to pay, like, cash in
homie
with all that money that they have, or there's not a lot of interest in him, because why would you visit Oakland? I don't mean to sound like all Fred and
there's
like,
no there
trash
there.
The rest of the NFL.
And he says, also, Jamal brings up something that we probably should talk about. Did you guys see Tlaib come out and say he never had a hip injury while playing for us? Said the Patriots lied about his injury because that's how they do things. That's not – he didn't really say that.
He said they miss – what did they say? They miss –
he said they have their own way
their
of,
own way of reporting injuries.
Yeah.
We should talk about that? Is that
– I don't really think that's
– I thought it was interesting.
I don't really think that's a topic I'm comfortable with.
You know, Tlaib has to worry about the perception of a chronic injury.
Well, not anymore.
You know?
Well, not – yeah. He just –
see,
it
would have made total sense to me if he came out with some sort of statement from his agent 3 weeks ago. Saying
now,
that.
He doesn't have a care in the world.
Right.
After he got his money, now I'm wondering.
He's in a place where weed is legal and he's got $26 million. Not a care in the world.
I mean, he certainly wasn't getting any more than
it's
that.
It's nacho time for Aqib Tlaib.
Yep. Let's see. Otavia wants to know, what about Cortland Finnegan?
Hotel? No,
I don't
thanks.
Think anybody is interested
nobody
in him.
Nobody wants
him. As a second banana?
I wouldn't shoot it down.
I don't know what he's looking for.
Because I am looking for some edgy guys. I'm a little worried right now about our milk toast defense, and he's got a edge to him. I think Revis has a.
They just signed the greatest defensive player in the history of the planet, and he just called your defense, Fred, milk toast.
Yeah, I wasn't even listening. I
just wanted to make sure I repeated it for
you. You wouldn't call him Hicks anymore.
If Wilfork isn't part of the mix,
yes.
If Wilfork is not part of the mix,
more milk toast.
Are we worried about leadership?
Yes.
On defense.
And I mean edgy leadership.
Well,
because Mayo doesn't have
an edge. That's different. I mean,
Gerard Mayo is Belichick's guy. He's a circle the wagon
guy. And Devin McCourty.
Is he the kind of vocal leader that you're, you know, we've talked about in the last few years?
No,
they
would miss Will Fork's leadership, I think. I think that's a little secondary, but I agree with you guys.
I think
they would miss that.
Has the edge to him.
Yeah. But he ain't going to be here.
And he's not a leader.
No, that's my point. It's not just Will Fork. It's Spikes. It's, you know, some of those personalities. I think even Tlaib, I think, has a personality, a swagger.
Mm-hmm. Does McCourty need to be a little bit more vocal?
Can't.
No,
I don't think he can.
You don't think he can?
No. You can't.
His voice is too gravelly.
But you can't just flick that on. I don't think
who
he is. And I don't fault him for it. Not everybody is that.
Did you see that commercial?
But that's why I think
who's the guy that you know, the Rodney awful. Harrison that keeps these guys in line
right now? Will Fork.
Right. So if he's not part of the mix, who does it become?
You don't have one.
Yeah, and so is it an issue?
And I think it's hard for Revis to do. So
right,
he just came on.
Yeah, Ninko is your logical choice.
I just think they have a bunch of,
but not as like
not
a guy
mild mannered, but a more low key guy.
Right,
yeah, Chandler Jones seems like kind of a nice guy, and
they want to lead by example. They work hard.
Ninko, the word I would use is businesslike.
Yeah,
for him,
and I'm not sure that works in terms of I need to really assert my leadership this year, but.
Jared Allen would bring that.
But in fairness, I would have said the same thing about Vince. And matter of fact, I did
we
say
did.
The same thing.
We talked about it at
but
length.
When he
right.
signed, you can't buy that.
Right.
And they bought it because he ended up turning into that. So
what about
maybe
Dante
a guy like
Hightower.
Chandler Jones can learn it.
Do you think Hightower could ever become that?
Maybe.
I'm not sure it's in his personality either.
I don't feel it.
You know, and this is going to sound stupid. You'll probably make fun of me. But I think those guys need to... If you're going to be one of those guys, you need to be a guy that's in the locker room all the time and dealing with the media and saying,
yeah,
you know, it, Mike Vrabel, you're it's right. Wednesday. I talked to the media today.
I think
that,
I
that's
think
part
Chandler
of what
Jones
I do as a leader.
Could be that guy.
And Hightower's never in the locker room.
Yeah.
I think Chandler Jones could be that kind of guy. And similar to Wilfork in that you don't pick, you don't expect it from him, but when he's on the field and he makes a play, you know how he gets all
right.
excitable and such. I think he's a guy that if when his contract comes around and if if they decide he's the big money guy they want to invest in, I think he could do what Wilfork did and turn into that.
I agree, 1,000%. That
was
actually
that type of guy.
Yeah. I don't think he has it now because I don't think he's overly confident in his status on
good
the team.
Good word, confidence.
But I think if you give him $40 million and say you're here for the next whatever it is 6 years, I think he could be a guy that could do that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I also think Jamie Collins, and I don't know why I think this. I think it stems from my when I interviewed him late in the year and he was joking about the DBs, the back and forth. I think he has an air of confidence
There's
to him.
There's a lot of confidence
but
there.
That takes time. I mean, you've been on the field for half a season. You've been thought of as a playmaker for like two games. He's a ways away from saying, let's get to, you know, yelling at somebody.
Right.
So, but I think he might have the personality eventually.
You know, so, you know, you look at Rodney or Ray Lewis as sort of, they're the epitome of leaders in the locker room. They're going to keep guys in line. I don't think the Patriots have someone that's close to that right now.
They also don't have a strong-voiced coordinator, it wouldn't seem. I don't believe Matt Patricia is,
right.
And it may not be his fault because on some level, Bill Belichick's always next to him or behind him, and you know maybe there's a little bit of a weirdness there.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, you could certainly argue that they're lacking that voice on and off the field to
So
slap them around.
I think
Pepper. Pepper's gone. Yeah. Pepper's another guy who had that voice.
Yeah, Pepper Johnson.
Wow,
yeah.
Nice job, Fred.
You
succeeded in tearing down the defense the day we traded. We got Darrell Revis.
This is exactly the opposite of
what
you
the hell are you doing?
Well, it's just,
we are a rudderless ship at Revis Island here. No wonder we're on an island. We crashed.
Gilligan's Island.
Another reason why Bill Belichick earns his money.
He went from Revis Island to Gilligan's Island.
Nice job, Fred.
Just
an hour and a half.
Personnel guy and more than just the coach. This is something he needs to think about. His locker room.
You talked us off the onto the bridge now.
No,
the defense stinks. What was the point of getting Revis? We have no leadership.
It's not that big an issue, but it's an issue.
I think it's a good size issue.
Yeah.
That's why we need to sign Jared Allen on and off the field. Leadership and playmaking.
Jack at Bard writes in, I wanted to mention on this on Tuesday's show after the Revis-Florio argument, but I think Kevin should make a drop from Anchorman when Brick shouts, loud noises! That would be good. Anyway, I had some questions about how much Revis's deal affects the cap and our ability to re-sign Edelman or Jared Allen. I read somewhere the Allen is threatening to retire if he's not signed for the right price.
Yeah. Well,
will
Wolford
now
Allen,
be forced to restructure? We talked about
because no one writes that instead of that when they're writing fast. You know, a lot.
Fred's
really hard.
I thought it was just a shout out to me.
Snarky. He's being snarky.
That's
it wasn't.
Okay.
No, they can do anything they want. They still have some flexibility.
The crap sheet indicating that Emmanuel Sanders is actually in Tampa, visiting Tampa today, per source.
So he's not doing a deal with us?
Doesn't mean that. But today, he's in Tampa, according to the crap sheet.
So it's not really true.
That's why I said according to the crap sheet.
Because, I mean, that's a half a step above Florio.
All right.
I just want to know, Fred, is it okay now if we talk about the possibility of Revis becoming a Patriot? I just want to check with Andy to make sure before we do it.
Right.
I don't want to get all fat and happy. I already got the fat part down.
All right.
Took that one away from me.
A lot more emails.
And you're never happy.
Phone calls. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey, rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O'Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spiced rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O'Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com, only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O'Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like. Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to 3 large cheese pizzas for $8 each. 3 large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the Bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your Bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 855-PATS-500. Fred from Delaware writes in, guys, I had a great night's sleep. I was about to send a rant if we didn't get anybody to replace Tlaib. Happily, we got an upgrade. Looks like Bill gave Elway a 24-hour head start just to make it interesting and still got the better corner, still hoping to see Browner in New England. St. Paul and St. Eric need to put a sock in it. He could play safety in the Legion of Belichick. I also think that Decker –
Who could play safety?
Browner.
Oh, that's fine. Sorry. I just don't want –
In the
want
Legion
on my
of
team.
Belichick. I also think that Decker set Edelman's market, and no one really has real interest besides Cleveland. Baltimore did, but has Steve Smith coming in most likely. Unless the something, I think it means Factory of Sadness, offers $2 to $3 million more, he stays here. What would be the Factory of Sadness?
Cleveland.
Yeah. I think we can manage to get a pass rusher and a receiver with Edelman. Remember? I think the draft will be a great one with the biggest holes at center, tight end, and defensive tackle. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of free agency. I'll enjoy it even more if I see a pass rusher come in.
I Paul, agree. Biggest hole at center?
Biggest hole at center?
I mean, that's
no.
Pass rusher.
I mean, for a man who thinks you can always get almost anything like a running back, a guard, I mean, center's got to be pretty high on that list if you can always get
right,
a center.
Right, you can always get a center. You can get a center even easier than guards. You need two guards, only one center.
Brian Lowe also believed you had to draft centers high to get him.
That's right, and now he's no longer in the business.
And he's happy. Now he's happily out of the business. Yeah. Happily and wealthily out of the business.
Let's
As
see.
He says.
David writes in, what a day. Very exciting. I have two questions. First off, I thought Denver only had a few more million than us on the cap, and we were considered to be short on cap room. Where are they getting this room to sign Tlaib, Ware, and Ward? They actually had a lot of money.
Yeah, and we weren't all that short on cap space.
And the cap is crap. Don't listen to Fred.
That's not true. We had almost $16 million in cap space.
The other side of that would be, if anyone's an expert on how to circumvent the cap, it's John Elway.
Right.
He did it as a player. Why wouldn't he do it
Fair
as a
point.
Player?
Yeah. Fair point.
Yep. My second and
Mike
more
Reese
important
disagrees
question
with you, by the way.
Is
with Fred.
When we can see the Patriots restructure Will Fork's contract to get some cap relief. Seems to me they would have done this prior to free agency. Can we expect this to get done? Or are the Patriots going to pay a 350-pound guy coming off, he says ACL surgery. It wasn't that. It was Achilles surgery. A boatload
Stickler
of money.
For details over
don't get me wrong. I love Will Fork, but I think the market across the league right now for Will Fork isn't near what the Patriots are scheduled to pay him.
They are not going to pay him $11.6 million cap figure this year.
One way or
I will
the other.
Go to my bed believing that.
I agree.
That made no sense.
You're going to go to your
you
bed.
Go to your bed
saying that?
Grave, that it's supposed
mean?
To be. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to go to my grave.
Well, that's the saying.
I know, but I changed it.
But the saying was probably invented before 1980, so he's not aware
that's true.
Of it.
I like changing sayings of that elk.
Paul, you're fixated to your phone. What's going on?
I'm just
on?
Trying to
good?
See if there's anything that we need to
he so despises
about.
This show now that he just like zones out onto his phone.
No, it's amazing to me, and someone said it earlier about the amount of activity this year in free agency with the big-name players, it was because of the cap space. This is 3 days now where it's just been constant news has been generated. I don't remember it being like this every other year. I think this has been
phenomenal.
More news, more high-profile players, obviously a lot of money being thrown around. I feel like
the NFL got what it wanted.
There's
and
something
made this
Patriots
an event.
Related happening, you know.
But I think it's league-wide.
More
I think
so
it's been
than
a pretty
others.
Free, exciting... Oh, yeah. The problem is they got what they wanted. They want to make these things events, but you and I were talking about it, Fred. They haven't really capitalized it on their in-house network.
No.
They've failed miserably to
head-to-head
really head with
upset.
ESPN.
You know, I got home, and obviously Revis hadn't
took
your happened
pants off.
Yet, so the first thing I did, yes, take the pants off. Second thing I did was put on NFL Network because I knew that would be the constant source because I put on ESPN. They were talking about college basketball. But – you know, I can't rely on their information because, you know, they've got Michael Silver and a couple other people talking in studio with Wiki, whatever his name is, Weish. And
Steve Weish.
Wiki.
Why is he Wiki?
The bottom scroll.
Weish.
The bottom scroll says.
He can't pronounce anyone's name.
The bottom scroll says Denver is still in the running for DeMarcus Ware. It happened like 3 hours before that. So I'm like, they don't even update their scroll.
Yeah. Was it live?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
It was live. So it's like
they lose.
Yeah,
they do.
You lose me right there.
Well, first of all,
if your ticker's not up to date, you lose me.
It's not even really ESPN. It's Adam Schefter.
If your ticker's not up to date,
like if they swooped in and took Adam Schefter back, they might regain the upper hand.
Yeah.
But right now, Schefter is taking his.
But that's not even. That's just
it's Schefter and everybody
work.
Else.
It's not even like you need to have an insider knowledge to update your ticker. You know what I'm saying? That deal happened 3 hours ago and they haven't updated the ticker.
Right. Even Patriots.com goes with reportedly.
You know, so I don't know. Let's go back to the phones. John is in South Carolina and he doesn't like big name free agent signings. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, that's not what I was saying.
Oh.
Yesterday.
I was actually going to applaud you.
No, yesterday I sent that email in saying how I'm sick of all the whiny fans complaining we never do anything.
Right.
And Paul said that means that I don't want a big free agent.
No,
that was wrong.
What I said was if they sign someone that's a big money free agent, I'm sure you're going to criticize it.
But that's not what my problem is. It has nothing to do with what Patriots moves the Patriots make. It's the fans pissing and whining and nothing ever happens. I don't care how they build a team. I don't know how to build a team. I just don't want fans pretending that they wish they were the Jets.
Right. Good
they
point,
wish it
John.
They were the Jets. I don't even know what that means.
Well, that was, 3 years ago, that was the mantra. Well, they should do it like the Jets.
If the Jets had a quarterback, they'd have two titles.
There's different ways to do it. And
that was certainly the Felger mantra.
None of them are the right way, and none of them are the wrong way. It just depends on how well you execute your plan.
That's very, very diplomatically said. I know that's not what you believe, but that's very diplomatically said. You don't believe that the Jets way is the wrong way.
The wrong way.
That you can win that way. If you do it right, if you don't have Mike Tannenbaum as your GM.
I think there's nothing that he did wrong other than not have a quarterback.
Idiot.
If Brady was on the Jets, they'd have won two titles since 09.
But anyways, I sent another email earlier today saying that, if Paul wants to argue against me that the fans are not morons, I'm okay with that.
Right. He got you there.
I can appreciate a good shot right there. He took me to a place I didn't know I was going. I like it, John. Good job.
I'll tell you what. If you can convince me the fans are not morons, I'll buy lunch.
Yeah, right. We're not going to eat.
Sorry.
All right. Thanks for the call, John.
Good call, John.
Defend himself. Eli's in Montreal. Hey, Eli.
Hey, Eli. How are you guys doing?
Good.
You're doing fine.
This morning I read that the Patriots are meeting with Browner to talk contract-wise.
Yes.
Is there anything happened? I'm not aware.
No.
No news since then, no.
Okay.
Yep.
So do you guys think we should sign Browner or go for another need like a defensive lineman or wide receiver or safety even?
I think all of those things. There's a lot of moves that the Patriots still have to make, whether it's draft or free agency.
No, they'll be making those moves,
I guarantee you, because they do it every year, right throughout training camp.
Am I wrong to assume Browner is going to be like a nothing signing? I mean, the guy is going to be suspended for the first four games.
He's like a Jake Ballard thing, except you don't have to wait the whole year.
Right, he's just going to be a guy. And you're
putting
hoping
him on ice. And
you're buying low and hoping to get something high.
Right.
Not high, bad choice of words, but.
I mean, Browner tried a little more depth to the secondary, really.
Yeah, I don't think he's – yeah, eventually. But it's nothing to get excited about. It doesn't – I wouldn't say that, oh, we address the safety need if we – or the other corner need if we sign Browner.
Or that we can't now address the depth need at defensive line.
It's a minor piece
of the puzzle.
Right.
No, exactly. What I really want right now is, for some reason, during the draft, or maybe a little bit before the draft, we trade for the Ravens with their first round pick and possibly pick up HaHa Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not in love with him. I think he's a little bit overvalued. You know, he's going to be a first round pick. He's probably going to be the first safety taken. Some question as to what kind of safety he is. He was sort of more a playmaker 2 years ago. He made less plays this year. He kind of said that was because he spent more time in the box and he was used a little differently. I'm just not sure he is the tone setter, the physical hitter guy that I want. And I still have my fears about the Alabama defense and these guys that come out of there.
That to me is the biggest fear. The last part that Andy just said.
Yeah. All right, Eli, thanks for the call. Alex from Philly writes in, I still can't believe we got Revis. It almost seems surreal. Still, I would like to see more moves like a pass rusher and a physical safety, maybe Jared Allen or Peppers and Louis Delmas. Also,
didn't
FYI
Delmas
to all somewhere? Those Pats homers.
Miami? Delmas signed with Miami.
I'm pretty sure Delmas signed.
Off the market.
FYI to all those Pats homers that think that Bill always does it the right way. The Broncos are employing a free agency technique called loading up. Why? Because their aging Hall of Fame quarterback is getting close to the end. Sound familiar? Anyway, all is quiet on the wide receiver front. Has there been any Patriots rumors about acquiring another weapon on offense? Lastly, I apologize if you've answered this already, but would you have given Tlaib that contract if you were the Patriots? And would you give Revis that same deal? I'd give Revis the deal.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think Revis would.
I would give Revis the deal.
That Tlaib had?
That Denver gave Tlaib.
Yeah, I would have given that. Yes, on both. I would rather have what the Patriots have now, but I would have given Tlaib. I'm the only one.
I think the problem with Tlaib is, he's not as good as Revis, but it's that injury thing.
Which I thought was a hip, but apparently isn't. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
But I absolutely would have given Revis that deal, the 6 years for $57 million.
If he'd take it, that's the thing.
I would rather have the situation.
I don't know if he'd take it.
Right now.
He doesn't want to be locked up like that.
I would rather have Revis for a year than Tlaib on that long-term deal.
Yes, me too. What Paul said.
Nick says, what the hell are the Patriots doing? Just sitting on their hands, bringing in backup wide receivers and special team linebackers while the Broncos are signing a bunch of talent to make themselves better? It looks like one team actually knows it has an aging superstar quarterback and actually cares about improving their team. How does Bill get away with this crap? Wait, what? We signed Revis? I knew it. And Bill, we trust. This team knows exactly what it's doing. They don't jump in and overpay at the start of free agency. They take their time and strike when the opportunity arises. Can you believe those frauds that doubted this team? Woohoo! Keep up the great work. Nick from Illinois. Paul, I wasn't being serious, just mirroring the reaction of many Patriots fans.
I was being serious, though.
But that's why I wish we had a show yesterday, because we would have legitimately had a file of all these people we could have replayed.
Well,
that were...
You could have sniffed
my
the
Twitter
whole
timeline,
show.
I'm sure yours is the same.
My Twitter was blowing up last night, Fred.
Well, did I told you the responses to that propaganda piece I wrote yesterday.
Right.
About...
Oh, they were...
Vulgar.
You out.
Vulgar.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely vulgar. I don't effing want to hear this from F you, you effing effing F.
Right.
Like, and apparently we don't have a filter on the comments setting, so those actually get posted.
Did I put those comments on the site? I thought I was supposed to just an email to you.
Paul's the only one not happy today.
I'm not happy.
Very happy.
I'm giddy.
Yeah. He hasn't been happy since 2003.
He knows now he's got to work in January. So
I know that every year.
No, it's February. It's he's worried about.
Wait, he puts his foot down. He does not want to go to Arizona.
Wait a minute.
Just the combine in Indy. That's it.
Did we just go to the playoffs with yesterday's move? Were we not in the playoffs on Tuesday?
I think every year you hold out hope that this will be the year they don't get in.
Not really.
Oh, there was a better chance. On Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That.
No, but if they didn't replace Tlaib, you could have sold me on they might not score enough this year. This could be the year somebody cracks through.
A better chance, yes. I think there was no chance of them not winning the AFC East. Before or after Revis.
I don't know. Miami's putting it together.
Defense, that division is just so bad. The AFC North is falling apart, too. I used to think that was a good division. I think that one's on the decline, Freddie.
Chris Ferreira is reporting that James Harrison is going to be released by the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you?
No.
Not for this team?
No.
Not for any team.
No.
He's done.
Really? Kenny.
Unlike Steve Smith.
Did his supply run out?
Oh, he's more done than Steve Smith. Because he hasn't found a way. Steve Smith is trying to hang on as a different
adapted type
of player.
He developed the knuckleball.
Well, he's Pedro. He learned to pitch at 89 instead of 96.
Right. Kenny in Virginia. Merry
Long
Christmas,
fingers.
Gentlemen. I'm absolutely
That's
stunned.
That's what it was. Long fingers.
I'm absolutely stunned. Revis is now a New England Patriot. Good call on the aggressive approach, Fred. Anyways, as fantastic of a start to the
something.
New England football it is, there still remains pieces to be filled in the larger scale puzzle, particularly on the defensive line. I'd love to have Peppers. After signing Revis, is it safe to say anything is possible? I don't know the exact cap number after signing, but I've heard Dan Connolly's name thrown around on Twitter, Ben Volen, I believe, who is in the ranking of the crap sheet, as a potential cap casualty.
True.
What is his exact cap number for 2014, and is he a possible cut or extension? Been pumped for the show, and even more so since the announcement of the Revis signing. Cheers to the best sports radio program ever.
You listen to Felger and Matz?
Ever. So we talked about Connolly possibly being...
I believe it's four and change.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
That's a big number. And when you have other big numbers, you can't sneak that one by as much. They don't have the luxury.
If you think a guy like, say, Marcus Cannon can be your starting guard.
Well, not Josh Klein.
Then all of a sudden you have a guy like Josh Klein that you're very comfortable with being your swing interior player, backup. You know? I think it's very easy to see something like that happening. Now, it would be hard, I think, to lose them both, Wendell and Conley, and then you only have one starting caliber, quote-unquote, player to replace them. You might have to go out and make a move. But
you think Wendell will get a love
minor,
from anywhere?
Minor move.
You know, a Donald Thomas where all of a sudden...
Why not just give him a three-year, $4 million contract?
Sure. To play next to Conley or to replace Conley?
Well...
Like I'm going to replace Conley.
Start at center.
No, but next to Conley? I'm not comfortable with Wendell and Conley playing next to each other.
Well, if you want to get rid of Wendell, then do that.
No, I'd rather get rid of Conley. I want to draft Conley. A good guard in like the third round, a road grader.
Chad writes in, what do you think about the moves the Jets are making? Are they going
it's
to
more
be
of a
threat against us? Are the Jets a threat this year?
No.
Eric Decker doesn't make them a better team?
No.
Who's going to throw to him?
No. Yes, he does. He's better than what they had.
He helps them, and I think they're talking to James Jones right now.
No difference.
And
right.
If you get James Jones, Jones could be the one, and Decker could be the two. Still.
Who's the QB?
Yeah, Geno Smith. Oh, Michael Vick.
Same. Don't care.
They don't have, I mean.
No, thanks.
I know that you think that it's just like sort of being dismissive. They don't have a quarterback. So you can make a lot of good moves. If you don't have anybody that can play quarterback, you can't win big. You can go 8-8 like they have, but I just don't see them being a viable threat.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jay's in Connecticut. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think everyone's just getting a little too uppity with D2 with how much money is being spent and all the players that are being signed.
because everyone's forgetting that we're getting our number one nose tackle back. It's probably going to get a restructuring contract, like a 3-year deal.
Maybe.
We're getting our number one middle linebacker back. My guess is it'll probably take him 4 weeks, but Gronk's going to be back. And, I mean, my guess is he'll probably miss like 4 or 5 games rehabbing. But that's 3 out of our best 4 players coming back. And everyone's talking about, you know, signing Jared Allen and all this. I mean, we don't need that.
Well, no, we do. We need someone. I mean, going into last year, we said if there was one place where depth was an issue, it was defensive line.
Defensive end, especially.
You know, everyone said that. And it's true. It was true. And it showed up late in the season when, you know, you look at the stats and Ninkovich and Chandler Jones had 95% of the snaps.
That's not going to happen again. That is very unlikely you can start those guys 16 games, 95% snaps, and say,
so
they'll be fine.
They need depth, and it's not Armin Armstead, you know?
Yeah, but Tommy Kelly's interior. I'm talking purely end. They had to. They added Andre Carter, and he immediately became part of the backup rotation.
Right. And he didn't have much
he's
left.
Done. He's done. And Michael Buchanan, I'm not willing to say that his year two jump is, woohoo, legitimate rotational pass rusher.
Yep.
And Jake Beckett is probably gone. What's that now?
We haven't had good DNs since both of that Colvin, and he only had a year or two that was good.
That's true. But I think Chandler Jones is a good DN, you know? But you need more. In today's NFL, you know, there's so much passing, so much running around. You need that rotation.
Yeah, you do. I mean, we see that in Seattle. If everybody's going to use that as the blueprint, that's part of their scheme is having those bodies to rotate through there.
Yep.
But we've heard it here a million times. Bill has talked about rotating. Pepper used to talk about rotating guys through. I think that's a need. Regardless of all, Armstead might be back and good, and Kelly might be back, and all. I still think you don't have anybody in that end spot that I'm willing to say, okay, that's the guy that's going to help out.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see one before the draft, but everyone's talking about how we need all these players before the draft. We still have the draft, and we still have a lot of picks.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, they will get some of it in the draft. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about trying to divvy up the needs. Where would you go? Would you go safety in the draft, safety in free agency,
I mentioned
tight
cornerback.
End draft?
They need to get a quality young player at that position. I think, you know
Logan
with Revis,
Ryan. The emerging Logan Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, a top-end guy, not a guy that is a project that might be something good someday down the line. I want a good...
Darrell Revis, not enough for you.
High-end talent. Well, I'm going to have Darrell Revis for a year, more than likely. So
you can have him for a year.
It's not, but that's it, more than likely, unless they can agree to some sort of long-term deal, which is a possibility. Maybe the sides talk. I mean, to me, knowing Revis's history, probably not.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Silvio writes in, all my friends kept telling me, you guys are getting Revis, and I continuously said, nope, Bill won't do it. Makes too much sense. And he did it. I never thought we'd see Revis in a Patriots jersey until he was 36 and washed up. I love the deal, too, because we most likely will have him for 2 seasons because of the franchise tag. Now, if we somehow get Browner in a 1-year prove-it deal, that could be something big. No Lombardis were ever won in March, though, so I won't crown the Patriots yet.
Well, we already have a Lombardi. Mike.
Let's go to Fike in Toronto. Hey, Fike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I was just wondering what you guys think about Aaron Donald coming out the draft. I know that we're pretty well set on the defensive tackle position, but I'm really impressed by what he offers to the table. Also,
I like him.
I do like his game. I think that if Bill pursues him, tries to trade up for him, I'd be just over the top. What do you guys think about that?
I'm not sure he fits.
I like the player a lot. I wouldn't trade up for him. I wouldn't trade up for an interior defensive lineman unless.
And a lot of
like,
people think he's going to be
unless he's like Warren Sapp,
20 in that area, late teens. And I just
yeah,
I know what you're saying about the fit.
I mean, he's a gap shooter. He's a penetrator. And is that what we're going to do and what we're looking for? You may sell me on that. You know,
that's
Fred
what
brought
I
it up.
Do.
We, you know, the Rex Ryan and the Darrell Revis, and is the defense going to be more aggressive and different?
Yep.
Jamie Collins, Gerard Mayo. I think you have athletes that if you tried to unleash them, Tommy Kelly even I would include in that. You may be intrigued as to what you see. And if you're going to do that, then okay, Donald, you've sold me. But if not, if you're going to bring a guy in who's undersized and speed-based and say, I need you to act like Vince Wilfork and occupy these guys, then
that's not what this guy wants to do.
It's a round peg, square hole.
Very impressive. Yeah, I thought he was very impressive at the combine. I liked the way he handled himself. I thought he came across very well. Not that means a ton. That's just, you know, a little part of what the guy is. But I was impressed with the way he conducted himself at the combine.
I should probably stop using old sayings, because a round peg will fit in a square hole, won't it?
Mm-hmm. If the square hole is big enough, yeah.
Yeah, square peg wouldn't fit in a round hole.
Right.
Unless the round hole was bigger than the square.
Yeah.
True. You can fit anything in any hole.
Thanks for the call, Fike. He was kind
interesting
of...
name.
How do you spell Fike on your screen?
F-I-K-E. Right? Like Chris?
Oh, yeah. He didn't dispute when you called him Fike.
No.
It's actually Frank.
I've never heard that name before, Fike.
David Monterey. Can't put words to how stoked I am about the Revis signing. I'll say this. My Ty Law jersey has been banished to the garage because it's become cursed with losses every time I wear it, dating back to the first Super Bowl loss against the Giants. I am glad to finally be able to replace it.
I think that's going to be a hot seller.
Apparently,
even though he's
only have jerseys Ty that Law have 24 jersey? On it.
No. But even though he's a one-year rental, I think he's going to be a hot one-year rental.
Yeah, I would think so.
Let's see. Dylan, I love the Revis deal, but we still need help on the receiver front and the D-line. Thoughts on what possible wide receivers they should try to sign? Smith, Nix, Britt, Sanders.
Nix would be my choice, but I haven't heard much about him.
I heard he was...
Nix is somewhere today. I saw that on the Twitter machine.
Carolina?
No.
For $4.5 to $5 million?
Well, I had heard that Carolina was the favorite for him because that's where he's from, and he has a relationship with Gettleman, who was with him at the Giants, but I forget where he was today. On the Twitter machine, they said he was somewhere today. I don't think it was Carolina.
Oh, I heard a guy talking about him, and I meant to Google it. He was talking about some catch he made in the Bank of America game there that's like the greatest catch ever.
I remember that catch.
Was it that impressive?
Yeah, it was one of those SportsCenter top tens kind of deals. Yeah, he caught it behind the guy, I think, and whipped it around and then ended up.
Yeah, that's what the guy said. Behind him, behind his back, something, and then took it to the house. Hicks.
People were upset that we were talking about...
Nakeem.
No socks is here.
Again.
Let me ask you a question, Matt.
In this spot in the corner.
We had a mini debate earlier. If you were making the decision for Patriots PR, you know, you actually had decision-making power, would you make... Revis available to or the simply available to all the media, or would you have a formal press conference, or does it not matter to you?
Are those the only two choices?
Yeah,
no, we had a compromise that you agreed
to. But that was after the debate. So,
Pisha,
you could step up to a microphone if you want.
Well, you could just tell me,
Or you could just yell.
Tell me.
I'm gonna pot him up. Okay.
I don't think you're speaking into the mic. Fix that, like Bill. But I don't think that's. Try again.
Press conference.
There you go. You would do a press conference.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit unfair, though. He's a TV guy.
Yeah, but I also agree with him.
But the option D was don't do anything, which they'll do, and I actually agree with that.
We didn't need to
editorialize. I think you need to make him available to the media.
They're not going to make him available?
They'll do a conference call, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what
making
Fred's
him available.
About.
That's what Fred wants. Available.
Okay.
And then you can put your little graphic up on the phone, Darrell Revis.
That's what Fred
not good
wants.
For TV purposes.
We told Fred basically that was a position of top of the mountain. When you're halfway up the mountain and have 30,000 seats filled, you would not be in that same position. You'd be putting him in front of a podium trying to drum up season ticket sales and excitement.
Get your logo on TV.
We're in a position we can bully. We're the Patriots. We go to the playoffs every year. We go to the AFC title game. You'll take what we give you. And we'll still be packed house. And you'll still be reporting about us.
Yep. By the way, Michael Holly's 48, Paul.
Okay.
Just so you know.
He's older than you?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think he was older than me. I thought he was younger than me.
He's aged
well. Well, he certainly looks younger
Paul
than you.
I thought Paul was 60. That's why I'm surprised.
I thought Paul was his dad.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Obviously, free agency continues, so you got to stick with Patriots.com.
Revis!
There'll be stuff going on all weekend. Paul's going to be on call all weekend on Patriots.com. Well, he just gave me a look.
No, he's not going to be.
Well, in lieu of working in February, he'll be working more from now till February.
All right.
I'll be here speaking at a banquet.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Don't worry about a thing. Gonna be all right. Rise up this morning. Smile with the rising sun.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.